This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
We got a fresh batch of Sleep Talk audio that if you were at our Uncensored, you got an exclusive listen to during our final two Uncensored at Ramshead Annapolis, then back at Ramshead Baltimore, and then we played it on Tuesday. And we started doing this before we even played or performed the first Uncensored. And you said for a while you weren't getting a bunch. You it was a bit of a struggle for like a week and a half to get anything worthwhile in there. When did the dam break and we got a lot of the choice nuggets we'll hear coming up?
It seems to be weekends when I really let loose and relax in bed that my inhibitions really go down and things start coming to the surface.
Because you'll hear coming up, we were able to hear more clearly and more concisely a lot of the stuff that when we played it on censor, we had to hear it through the house PA, and you'll hear Scott accurately say that, man, once you hear it in your headphones, it's that much more clear. And you, my friend, were having a sex dream. It was a guaranteed, definite sex dream. It is someone was just getting the business in your dreams.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say this, Mike, if I can't bleep it. I'm sorry I'm eating. It's a Saturday morning. You can all suck it.
Whatever. We're here on a weekend for you.
Do you wake up with morning?
Whoa.
No.
Oh, come on. Stop it.
Come on. You can hang a wet towel on that thing.
I'm dead from the waist down at this point. So whatever happens would probably just happen when I'm unconscious.
All right. Well, we got ourselves a fresh batch. We played it Uncensored and decided to bestow it upon you after those at Uncensored got to hear it first for paying that ticket. Fresh Sleep Talk audio, and there are some gems in this.
Off of our third Uncensored show. Thank you to everybody that came out.
Yes.
We greatly appreciate it. We had a good time. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do it again sometime, maybe next year or whatever.
Yeah.
And part of the one of the segments that we did was exclusive. But now I guess we're opening it up to the masses, but the Uncensored crowd for the second and third show got to exclusive Sleep Talk audio.
Yeah, they did. Sorry. Someone just sent me, speaking of the Grimsby brothers. You didn't see that, did you?
No, but I got the scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a scene in there with two elephants making love that is... Josh, it would send you to Shepherd Pratt if you saw it. I'm not kidding. It would send you. Like, are you watching this?
Oh my God,
it's so gross.
Yeah, I may have to watch that now.
That's honestly, you've seen the highlight of the film right there. So, yes, we got fresh Sleep Talk audio. We have some classics such as Dog Going. And don't forget that one there in the classic.
The mother me. I like that, mother. You like to de-mother me.
Oof. And they were a hit. This was a hit and Uncensored. Sorry we lied to you. We said it'd be exclusive, but guess what? We got your money. You bought the shirts. It's ours now.
It was. They got the first exclusive sneak peek.
There you go. Good way to spin it. Like a pre-access to a video game. You could play it 4 days
like
early.
When a band has like a listening party and you get to listen to their record before it's released.
There you go. It was like the Metallica sound check, but with Josh screaming out insane stuff in the middle of the night. So, Mike, you want to hit a chunk of this now and a chunk of this after Keith does whatever he's going to do?
Yeah, we have a lot, because this time around, Spiegel spent 3 weeks running the Sleep Talk app.
Yeah, Mike made me do it.
So we got a big harvest out of it. We got a lot of stuff.
This is where the bruise came from. You're going to record this, or you're going to pay the price. Let's go ahead and get rolling here. Fresh Sleep Talk audio. This is Uncensored 4. I'll give you the first four cut names. General snoring, into a sleep moan, into a sleep babble, into more snoring and moaning.
General snoring, reporting for duty.
Here's another. Ooh, hey, one more time, buddy boy. Someone was dreaming of someone.
Yeah, that's...
let's get back here.
You do so much of that. Like, between your snoring and just weird moans.
Ooh, guy. I'm liking the sound of that. All right, up next, I believe... Oh, I think we got a... We have a loud moan, I believe, coming up here. Oh, Joshy.
Scott said it before, and I mean, he wears the Bane mask to sleep.
Every night I wear it.
You were born with sleep apnea. Every I was raised night. By it. Yes, you have to strap this plastic hose to your butt.
Here comes a real nice juicer.
That's pretty nice. Is it weird to you that we just broadcast the sounds of you sleeping to like millions
of people?
I'm used to it. This is a very intimate peek into your bedroom. This is 100% real. The Sleep Talk app, he puts it on his nightstand. You can hear the room.
Yeah, you hear the sound.
Like in your bedroom.
Yeah, the ceiling fan goes year round.
You know, next time we do this, we ought to get a external mic for your phone and really do it right.
What would
it's
that
not
do?
A bad idea. I don't know. Maybe just enhance the, like make it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, more,
I mean, like a shotgun using, mic?
You're just using the mic on the like the mic on the iPhone.
It's just the phone.
Which isn't bad, but yeah, it could definitely be better.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting clips such as this, which don't sound terrible. How badly are you dying one day to get one of these cuts in, Michael, and hear...
or hear...
Oh, Joshy.
Go back to sleep.
Yeah, I want to hear a second voice again one day so bad.
You would never let us have that.
Josh.
It's probably already happened.
Please run downstairs and get me some ice.
He accidentally emails a big chunk off at a mic that's not supposed to be there.
Josh, I think you broke something. Oh, what is that?
Ooh, I just love running my fingers through your chest hair.
All right. When we last left you, we were getting into some fresh Sleep Talk audio. Josh turns his app on. It's called the Sleep Talk app. He places it on his bedside, and whenever it detects the presence of sound, it turns itself on, records, then stops. And Josh, how many times in the years we've been doing this have you not handed over a file because of something that you heard on the other end?
Just a couple times. One was when I screamed the F word.
Whoa.
And I didn't think America could handle it, really.
No, I couldn't really play it, but... I would have liked to have heard it off air. Would you even let us hear it? At least let us hear it off air.
I suppose now that you've heard it, you know, at that uncensored show we did. So kind of broke the cherry, so to speak.
Oh, hey, the old hymen smasher.
Ugh.
Here we go. Let's head back into it now. I believe we're right around fart/sleep growl. Let's just go ahead and play it raw.
Oh, yeah, don't skip that sleep apnea scream. That was choice.
Here we go.
Yeah, go back just to the beginning of that and crank it up.
Let's go right back.
It's so weird, this little thing right here.
Very, very loud. Here we are. Josh!
It's your body struggling to breathe. You realize that?
You're choking on your own mouth.
It sounds like I'm just startled about something.
There's a lot of meat flapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, flappy meat.
You got flappy meat, Josh. Old loose lips over there. All right, let's see what this one is. Here we are.
So much bass.
So chunky. So chunky.
Oh, yes.
That is. Dinty Moore, baby.
Yeah, that is. You could hear the real chunks of potato.
Thick and chunky.
Oh, yeah. Here we are.
It's that one slap right in the middle.
It sounds like it's going to travel through so much flesh to get out.
It sounds like you had a ceiling fan and you just pushed a stake into it.
The deepest crack.
It's so meaty.
Well, I wouldn't know how deep it is.
All right, here we go.
How deep is your crack?
All right, here's a weird growl, I believe.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to just say this. We played these at the Annapolis Uncensored, and we played them at the last Uncensored.
Uh-huh.
Now in studio with headphones on, it's a whole nother experience.
Because you heard them through the in-house speakers, which aren't as clear as what's coming through, and hopefully you in the car.
Yeah, you out there, turn your radio up, because when you get into these, woo. What is that? You're like growling.
Yeah, you're like an animal.
Yeah. At first, I thought it might be a dog, but that definitely sounds like you.
It is him.
Yeah, that ain't Farfel. All right. Okay. Here we go. Now, we have some speech here.
Let's see if you can figure out before I tell you what Mike thinks he said. Whoa. All right. Was he talking to a prostitute?
Mike says that's get out tomorrow.
Get out,
get out tomorrow.
Get out tomorrow. You've been paid.
Yeah, you got to get her out. Get her gone, right?
Got to get her out of there.
Get a cab and get out of here.
Hit the bricks.
Hit the bricks, broad.
You've already been paid.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Get out tomorrow.
Yeah, before you leave, flush the condom down the toilet.
Oh, Jesus, no. You're out of control lately.
You are losing
you're
it.
Out of control lately.
One more time. All right, here we go.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Get out tomorrow.
Get out tomorrow, but you could stay today.
Yeah. We got two farts here, back to back.
All right, here we are. Let's hear our first one. Woo! Yeah, here we go again. Oh, so good. Oh. Oh,
it's like you have two distinct style of farts. You have the buzzsaw, like we just heard, and then like the popcorn popper style of fart.
Oh, my God. Hold on. I want to play this one.
The jellyfish and the buzzsaw.
All right. Let's play the half speed one of that. I want to put lumber up to your ass. All right. Here we go. Here's the next one. All right.
Here's the jellyfish. We got a buzzsaw and a jellyfish.
Buzzsaw and a jellyfish. Buzzsaw and a jellyfish back to back. I'm going to delete that. I'm going to combine these two, and we'll let you hear them back to back. Oh,
mating.
Oh, those are good. Let's go ahead and hit the next one here. What's this next cut, Michael?
Well, it's him talking. And
is this beeped?
Yeah, it is bleeped, so don't worry. I think he curses, I'm pretty sure,
what?
After listening to it again.
What? Right. Cursing?
Yeah, we think you cussed in this one. All right, so you actually gave us one with a cuss in the middle of it.
Yeah, you know what? To get what? Huh?
What? Okay, translate that, Mike. What do you think he said?
After, and I sat down with a committee of coworkers to try to figure out what was said here.
A tribunal.
All I could gather was, get out of my S, get me into a Russian tea outlet. Huh.
Oh, wow. Well, Russian collusion. All right, so the first part, get out of my S, get me into a Russian tea outlet.
Yeah, you know, Russian tea outlet.
Wow, that's a Russian tea outlet. He's sick of paying full price for his Russian tea.
What does that even mean?
Mind is a crazy mystery.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a big waveform coming up. What is this?
This is a fart.
Oh, yes, God bless you. Here we go.
Dude, that is like your that is your prototypical Josh Spiegel sleep talk audio fart. It goes up at the end.
That's the classic.
That's the classic, and here's the new. Yeah, that's the classic, and this is the latest.
Here's the new
one. It's the same exact. Listen.
Here we go.
It's exactly the same.
You have a brand. It's amazing. I'm going to try. I'm going to try and play these at the same time if I could. There we go. There we go. There we go. And roll it. They are the same fart. It's amazing.
That is a Spiegel special.
Josh, you know what you do. Like Disturbed writes the same song 500 times in a row, and you've got the same ass. God bless you. All right, nice play. We got a few more here, and then we'll be done with it. Oh, here we go. Another talk. I'll even give you a heads up. See if it says this. It was like in the single digits. Maybe he's talking about temperature.
It was like in the single digits.
That is what. Whoa.
100%.
And the way his voice changes, because what do you, I guess you're laying on your back. You lay on your back when you sleep?
Yeah, it changes.
All the meat flops to the back of your throat.
It was like in a single digit.
And whatever it is, you sound sad that it's only in the single digits. If you listen to the end, listen to the inflection in your voice. You sound, whatever you're dreaming about, you're upset that
you're
it
talking
was,
about the amount of lovers you've had in your life?
Yes.
It was in a single digits.
Yeah, I have no idea what I could be talking about.
Probably temperature. Probably temperature. Let's go to...
It was going to happen. You just knew it.
You just knew it.
Yes! Oh my God! Yeah, we're hearing these
sentences
in the headphones, like you said. This is so
and
much clearer.
A bit of attitude at the end, like I knew I was right about it.
Here we go.
knew that was going to happen. You just knew it.
All right. Now, this next one has been labeled poopy fart. Apparently, you messed the bed in this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the dog. That's Farfel. Oh. He's a problem. He's got gas.
Oh, my God.
How that doesn't wake you up. How you don't go and immediately reach for a handful of baby wipes after this.
Oh, how that is not actual productive. That is amazing. That's air.
Oh, my God. That's pure air.
I just gagged a little.
Man, what does that room smell like? That is hot burnt onions and rotten tomatoes.
How many pairs of underwear does Josh leave stains in? Oh, God, please create a Spiegel fart soundboard on the 98 Rock app. Can we do a fart soundboard on the app?
Yes,
we do. It's 2017. We got to figure out a way to freaking do that.
Yes, DJ says this is the new cut off the album from Buzzsaw and the Jellyfish. Man, I'm so glad you got that Mattress Firm endorsement, buddy, because you are going through product right now. All right, and here we go, another one. Okay, now here's a sleep talk. Who's your daddy? Something we can't understand. And ooh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
this is one of the two final cuts. All right, here we go. See if you can figure out what Mike can't figure out. Mike, any theories as to what he says?
I have no clue. All right, I tried.
See if the listener can figure it out. I feel like he's saying, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Who's your dad? Man, you are having sex in this dream. Who's your daddy? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm with Justin.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Dude.
Yeah, that's right.
You are deep in the sex
game. That is a sex dream.
You are smashing it in your dream.
Somebody in that dream.
I don't have sex dreams.
And you said, who's your daddy?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not only
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you were taking a paternity test, homie. You were laying lumber in that dream.
And I mean, not only having sex, but talking dirty.
Yeah, dude. You're a freak.
Oh, yeah.
Let your freak flag fly, baby.
Yeah, brother. Live your best life.
Come
man.
On.
One day, Lord knows I will. All
who's
right, here we go.
Daddy.
One, who's your daddy? And then one final one, just entitled, Huge Fart.
The hang time. The hang time on that. Oh, my God. I feel like I should worship at your feet.
Josh.
You're like a god.
You are the next evolution of the species.
Oh, it keeps going.
That is so much air.
It's just when you think it's going to end.
It's like a song that doesn't end. It's so long.
Yeah, it's one thing to have a long fart or a really loud short fart, but to combine those two.
Let me see how long that cut is. Josh, that, my friend, is a 3-second long toot. You know how hard that is to do? The ones that you hate that we do in here, the little, you know, it's over in half a second. Meanwhile, you know, Apocalypse over here. How you don't need sutures after that?
Oh, your poor family that has to sit.
I know. I thought about that. Those nieces and nephews that come over for the holidays.
That's why I close the door.
Oh, please. They can hear through that door.
They got to have nicknames for you.
Mommy, I heard something. Go back to bed, Fraulein. Josh is just snoring again. Oh, Josh, God bless you, sir.
Oh.
Thank you.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Hey, how you doing? Hopefully you and yours are getting prepped for the holiday week coming up with Thanksgiving, and hopefully you won't have a psychopathic child threatening you with a pair of scissors as you all gather around the Thanksgiving table, because we had a discussion about that the day before yesterday. Strange, scary childhood behavior, and if you listen to the calls coming up, you'll hear a pattern, and the pattern involves animals. Now, there's a couple of outliers. I was kind of hoping for some more, like, you know, woke up in the middle of the night and my 5-year-old standing over top of me with a tack hammer or whatever, but just a lot of animal stuff that was a little unsettling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I take all this with a grain of salt. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you're figuring out, you know, you're figuring things out. A lot of trial and error as a kid. A lot of
does this fit here?
I don't know. You know what I mean? It's, yes, there are instances where some might have been more alarming than others, and these people go on to become serial killers. But really, how many serial killers are there in the world?
Well, you and I are the ones with the friend, with the kids in the group, and my kids have friends that I'm already starting to put little asterisks next to.
Oh, wow.
You're super cool. You're the kid I'm going to buy pot from in 20 years, and you're going to be the one that's going to break in the middle of the night and beat us all to death with a meat tenderizer.
What about the kids that have an imaginary friend?
That seems pretty common.
That doesn't bother me.
Unless the imaginary friend tells the kid to do something insane.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, as adults and as grown-ups, we have a tendency to create meanings when there might not be a meaning to anything. There's no meaning behind it. It just is. You know, just because a kid's doing something doesn't mean that it means this.
Yeah. I mean, Evan regularly takes one of the extra large Legos and just shoves it in the crack of his ass. And I'm not thinking, what does that mean? No, he's just a 2-year-old with a handful of Legos. Like, where can I put these?
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like as a kid, I still had a bit of a moral compass. Like, I knew killing an animal was wrong and, you know, I empathized with an animal. You know, whereas you see some people are just, or kids are just callous and cold and have no sort of a respect for life.
Well, I mean,
you can see it. You can see it early on.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Mike, looking at a kid?
I mean, there were kids in my neighborhood that you knew were going to grow up and be not
good adults.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like, right. That's like anything.
I mean, there's also
levels.
A gray area.
There's levels. Like, you know, like I said, we've all been like, I blew up slugs and I hit lightning bugs with, you know, wiffle ball bats and fried ants on a sidewalk. And but yeah, there's levels to everything. And though you could tell the kids that were like, okay, you're next level, dude. That's why we're all sitting here and they're probably somewhere else.
Yeah, you're going to be on an episode of Netflix's Mindhunter coming up. Where did you hide all the skulls that you turned into cereal bowls? You checked in about strange childhood behavior, yours, your friends, your children, yourself, on Behind the Curtain. Mike, read us what you found on Reddit again. Mike Anderson, the Americo Vespucci, the Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with Reddit, like a lot of other people.
The homepage of the internet, he calls it. Back page expert, Reddit aficionado. Front page.
We have a 98 Rock subreddit, too. I implore you to join us.
He implores you.
I implore you.
I don't even know what that Reddit means.
No one does. He made that word up.
It's 98 Rock subreddit? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's where a lot of 98 Rock related discussions are happening.
I bet.
It's a community.
There are all five of them.
But anyway, this one caught my... this one came from the legal advice subreddit, and it caught my eye because it was so alarming and weird. I'll just read it for you here. I just turned 15 and my sister's 12. She was going into the woods behind our house a lot recently and wouldn't say why, so I followed her today.
I'll be back.
I saw her go into this hideout thing she'd made.
Oh.
A bunch of branches leaning against some rocks. It looked cool. I went in, but when I got inside, I saw all these bodies of animals laying out.
What's up, bitch?
They were dead and bloody. Some were cut up. She got mad at me for following her and said she's just curious. She used a knife to kill them, and then she dissects them like in a lab.
Oh, it's no. Like a lab.
Oh, she's doing science.
I'm so creeped out. That's so gross and creepy. And it goes on. But, I mean, that's the gist of it. His sister is...
Well, the big
mutilating
part of it
animals.
Yeah, I figure you're skipping one of the best parts here is when the older sibling says, I got to tell the parents, and then she psychopathically responds back to him, it'll take you at least 20 minutes to bring them here, and I'll hide everything I know everywhere in these woods, and you'll never find anything I don't want you to find. Yo.
So, yeah, she's cognizant that this is a little weird and sick.
Yeah. That's twisted. And it made me think of a conversation. We talked about this yesterday that I overheard two parents from a high school, just one of them expressing concern about one of their older teenage children that he spends all this time in the detached garage and he like steals her steak knives and he doesn't know why and he refuses to let them in and he's like locking the door behind him and just he comes back in a different mood when he's spending all this time in the detached garage. And she wants to respect his privacy, but she also needs to know what's happening out there with her fine cutlery and why he's coming back in cackling like a psychopath whenever the hell he gets back from out there.
Open your eyes!
It's Biggs, you went through a phase where you would spend a lot of time in your bedroom, right? And wouldn't come out.
Yeah, I still spend a lot of time indoors. That's my reclusive hermitage behavior. But it started when I was a kid, and I would lock my door at night and watch a black and white TV, even though we had color TVs in the house.
Whoa.
And I had a tray, and I would lie on the bed and put the food tray over my lap and lean up and eat while watching TV, while watching Alf.
I guess it's kind of weird childhood behavior.
Especially when you had color available.
Colors make me angry.
Well, I mean, I've told the tale many times. I used to glue bugs together, hoping to make a new bug. I remember one time I tried to lasso bees with dental floss and just ended up getting stung. Scotty, what about you? Coming up on the rear here. Did you ever find Scotty doing something strange out in the woods, putting your penis in a beehive? Or?
Nah, I mean,
oh, we caught my
would
brother
that be strange?
Once. We caught my brother once rubbing mud all over his naked body.
Yeah, I mean, it's your kid, right? I mean, yeah. Mutilating animal, like, that's one thing. Like, sticking your penis in things, like, that's what you did as a kid, right?
What do we got here? Ooh, that stings.
You know, you would hump at anything. You didn't know what the hell you were doing. You were a kid. But, like, I played with fire a lot, but I don't think that's not weird, right?
I used to a beanbag chair.
Right, that's not
fire's
weird.
Everything.
And humping a beanbag chair, not weird. Like, mutilating animals, we're getting into a level of the psychopathic behavior.
And especially her
fire
efforts to cover it up.
I think any, you know, boy sometime gets fascinated with fire.
The joy of finding a lighter. Like, oh my God, is there anything left in it? Like, there's a fire in this. Yeah, that's
and when you
standard.
Realize that, like, hairspray would light when you that whole thing. And, but yeah, there was one time where me and my buddy found a frog in his pool.
Oh.
And we had an afternoon with a frog.
Take
but,
it away.
It was just one time. It didn't like it wasn't a recurring behavior where I found joy in it. It was
you weren't like that monkey in the video with it.
I don't remember the monkey.
Oh,
in
you
the
don't
video.
Remember the monkey frog video?
Probably might have been similar.
No, I hope not. Oh, I hope not. I shouldn't be. A monkey took a frog. Live or exclusive, and just did that with it.
Oh.
And then proceeded to do that with it. And I think it was even in a zoo, and there's a bunch of children there watching from behind the glass going, yeah, it's bad.
I mean, there was that famous episode of Beavis and Butthead, Frog Baseball.
Frog Baseball!
They would just throw frogs and hit them with bats.
Mike, how much corn did you lower yourself onto as a child?
Oh, that started later in life, that fascination.
Oh, okay.
But I do remember one incident from childhood where a friend shot a rabbit with a pellet gun and killed it. And that, you know, disturbed me even at the time.
Well, that's good that it screwed you up
a
little
bit.
If you've been fascinated and you run over to play with the corpse, then you're a little psycho. But if you were disturbed by it, you showed empathy.
Right.
That was a big one as a young boy. Everyone had a BB gun or pellet gun. And
that's like kid stuff, though. As long as it's not like... like Justin said, every day and you're doing weird stuff with the body and, like, you know, you're just... Then that becomes... problematic behavior. There was a post online about a kid whose sister was going out into the woods, and he's like, what the hell is she doing out there? And he went out there, and he found this little makeshift lean-to filled with the corpses of animals that she had killed and dissected. And he's like, I'm going to tell mom and dad. And she's like, whatever, I'll be able to hide everything before they come out here anyway, so don't
Cynthia will
it.
Make you feel better.
And we're taking calls and texts. And I don't know what to make of this. I don't know what to make of it.
Well, we all did strange stuff as a kid, but
yeah,
I
thought of another one. We used to get like firecrackers.
Uh-huh.
They were called ladyfingers. They were just little tiny, like firecracker, like a smaller firecracker. And we would put it under a slug, and we would blow up slugs, and little bits of slugs would go everywhere.
Get just down! Go,
it'd be like a slug bomb.
Ugh. That really was your first thought when you got firecrackers.
What can I blow up?
What can die? What can die at my hand today?
Yeah, because what jogged that memory was somebody said that they tied a lizard to a bottle rocket.
Oh, okay.
Once taped the lizard to a bottle rocket, and, well, I'm sure you know what happened after that.
Yeah.
Friend and I found a dead cat and tried to resuscitate it. It was already stiff. My mom caught me crucifying worms on a board and then letting them dry out in the sun. And my brother and I used to catch crawfish in cups of water, freeze them, and then would thaw them out and try to reanimate them using electricity.
Okay, kind of. That's kind of creative. My buddy Justin Dean, shout out, brother. He used to. The kid was a genius. He's the guy that we did work for the Naval Center at one point. There is a part of the floorboard in his kitchen/bedroom. His bedroom is next to the kitchen where ants could come in, and he electrified a plate of metal, and we would just watch these ants walk in and just sizzle on this hot plate.
Oh, yeah, it's another one, the magnifying glass.
Oh, yeah, now that's a rite of passage. That's a rite of passage. What kid, upon learning that you had a household space laser at your disposal, wasn't taking that magnifying lens out there and just burning a hole in everything? But it's the more sinister stuff. Let's get to these now. Mike, give me the best call first. Mike, what do you think?
Ooh, we got some good ones
here. We got
here.
Some creepy stuff.
Let's start light with Al in Westminster.
Al in Westminster, we'll jump to you, dealer's choice. Al, good morning.
How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Al.
I'm doing good. So when I was younger, I grew up on a farm, and we had a lot of property. So, like, peeing outside was no big deal. Like, if you had to pee and you were outside, you could go outside.
Hell yeah.
So basically, in short, I introduced quite a few bugs to a golden shower.
Jesus.
I would chase them around the lawn, you know, while I was taking a leak and try to get as many as I could. And unfortunately, it put quite a dent in me and my grandmother's relationship when she caught me doing that.
You peed on bugs.
You peed on bugs.
That's
I tried to chase them down.
Okay.
Hey, Mammy, watch this. It's a beetle. I got a beetle, Mammy. Yeah, you're just a hayseed. That's all that is. That's not crazy behavior. That's just redneck behavior. I identify. Let's go with... Oh, hey. Blind Mike. Let's find out what sort of psychopathic stuff he and his ilk got into. What's up, Mike?
Buenos dias, vatos.
Gracias.
Hello.
Hey, first of all, Scott, sorry to hear about your friend, man.
Thank you, Blind Mike. Appreciate it.
I met a girl on a business trip once and went back to visit her a couple weeks later. And she had a five-year-old son. And we're sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden he comes out of the kitchen with a steak knife.
Whoa.
Stands right in front of us and goes, "I want to stab both of you to death."
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
There we are.
Yeah. Now, the best part was, she goes, "He does this all the time." And it was like, I said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "You've got some issues with this kid."
Yeah.
So needless to say, I slept with one eye open that night just waiting to see what was going to happen.
Oh, so you stayed the night.
You get laid
his
that
mom
night?
And
I had to. I was out of town. What was I going to do?
Did you get laid that night?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice job, Mike.
And
nice job.
You have no idea what happened to how this kid
no,
turned
that
out.
Was the last time I ever talked to her after that weekend, so he could be somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, Mike was like, "I'm out of here." Later. Let's go to boy, Stephen, Pennsylvania, God's country. What's up, buddy?
All right. So I used to catch spiders, like a whole bunch of them, and we had an old fish tank that we never used. I would create a habitat for them, and I'd put them in there, and I would feed them for a week. And after the week was done, I'd stop feeding them, and I would watch them eat each other.
Oh, yes! That's kind of metal. That's kind of metal.
I did that every summer for, like, summer vacation for, like, 4 years up to, like, 8th or 9th grade. My mom had arachnophobia, so I couldn't do it around the house. So,
round one, fight.
Yeah, I used to have those. You ever see the spiders that build the webs on the bushes, and then they like have a little hole?
Little
that
tunnel.
They go,
yeah, I got tunnels in my house.
Yeah, and I would get little bolly bugs and drop the bolly bugs into the
opening.
No, right into the thing, and the spider would feel the vibration and come running out of the.
Oh,
I was basically feeding the spiders.
You were playing God. Chow's on. Yeah,
fascinating. Those little tunnels and the spiders. I always wondered, like, what the inside of that tunnel looked like. They were just hanging out down in there.
Just waiting, man. Just waiting. I remember being so fascinated in, like, maybe 4th or 5th grade when you started learning about, like, plants that could kill the Venus flytrap.
Yes, and the, we put flies in the flytrap.
Hell
and
yeah,
all that.
We did. Our teacher got a Venus flytrap plant with a bunch of those things, and by God, day one, we turned into a bunch of serial killers running outside to grab grubs and worms, and hell, we tried to feed the damn thing a candy corn. Turns out a candy corn will kill a Venus flytrap. Let's go to... Ooh, Tanya in Smithsburg. I don't know where that is. Hi, Tanya.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
We were rather worried about my brother as he was growing up. When he was three, I found him over at our fish aquarium, and he just started laughing. I'm like, what's so funny? I just squeezed the guts out of one of your goldfish.
Oh. I just squeezed the guts out of, and was that one isolated incident?
No. I didn't think it was possible, but yes, there was a fish floating there with its guts hanging out. One time, he was a little older, he put a kitten in a metal Tonka truck and sent it down the slide. And the kitten was having trouble getting up, so he just started stomping on him.
Oh,
okay, well, that's odd. That's odd.
Your laughter at the end of the tale leads me to believe that I believe psychosis might run rampant through your clan. And there we are. Point proven. Wow. Thank you so much. We got the Crazy Bergs checking
in. Up until the stomping, I was kind of okay with everything.
Yeah, I was even the tale about the stomping disturbing. It was her laughter at the end of it that chilled me to the core. Let's see what we got here. Got a couple more bounce. Let's go to Darian in Towson. Darian, good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. So my friend, when I was younger, he would get me to walk his dog so that he could go hang out with his girlfriend when he was grounded. Well, when I would go up to the school with him, before he would meet up with his girlfriend, he would always try and find baby bird nests.
Oh, no.
And the problem was, is he always would want to try and find the baby bird and stab him with sticks.
What? Yes, you know, that's...
Yeah, he was a little crazy.
Yeah.
He just recently tried to re-up with me recently. I'm like, I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah, you and I ain't getting wings for happy hour. Let's do one more here. She's a nanny. Let's talk to Lindsay. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Hey. Hello, Lindsay.
So you're around a bunch of kids.
Yes. I'm still a teacher of 2.5-year-olds.
Okay.
So I'm still crazy. But before, when I was a nanny, I once was cornered in a room by one of the girls I nannied. She had a pair of scissors, and she stood at the door and told me I couldn't leave until... She gave me a haircut.
Oh, boy.
Well, so? She had the scissors because she wanted a haircut.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Let's not make this into something that's not here.
She considered fingers hair.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
I'm sorry it's happening, but I'm glad you know what's happening. Josh Spiegel finally figured out what the hell was going on wrong with his arm. Can I take a look and see what that bruise is looking like on a Saturday? Man, it's not going away.
Yeah, it seems to have gotten dark red now, almost a maroon color.
Oof.
Which I'm not sure if that means it's healing.
Because usually, like when you get a good bruise, like I got a lot of them on my right hip when I used to skate. I'd fall, I'd regularly hit my right hip. It'd be very dark, very centered, about the size of a mouth of a can of Coke. And as it would dissipate, the body absorbs the blood. It would get bigger but lighter.
Oh,
yours is getting larger and darker.
My goodness.
I feel like you've got some sort of flesh-eating bacteria, but that's not what it was. What did the doctor diagnose the arm pain as?
Carpal tunnel syndrome.
Mm.
And the claw that he gave me, well, I call it a claw, but it's a device. It's a
brace.
And it seems to be helping.
Are you wearing it? Are you like...
Yes. I'm wearing it right now.
Like my kid, sorry Gavin, but I gotta call you out here. He has a condition where he has to put a patch on his eye.
Yeah.
Like once a day, hour a day. And man, you gotta wrestle him to the floor and slap that patch on so his eye doesn't migrate a little bit.
Right.
And we can't get him to do it as much as we want to get him to do it, but we're trying to do it for his benefit.
Well, I'm not a child, so I put it on my...
Oh, yes.
I don't like wearing it because it's my right arm.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of a nuisance, but I believe it's helping.
A lot of listeners want to know what's been going on with your me time because of this injury.
Oh, well, it's I'm kind of handicapped right now.
Or are you handicapable?
I got to rest my right hand. And
you have to place it within the folds of your arm and elbow.
Yes.
And then just work it back and forth like this, Josh. Do that motion right there. Yeah. Mike, I think we need to hire someone, a professional, to stop by for an extraction.
Yeah, people have to do that when they're up in bed in the hospital and can't use their limbs. Somebody has to come help relieve that congestion.
Yeah. And we've got someone coming next week here in studio, 8 o'clock hour on Wednesday. We are having our old pal Greg the Douche stop by to you off live on the East.
Jesus. No.
Oh, yeah. Josh found out he's got carpal tunnel. I'm behind the curtain. Numbness, pain, agitation in the hand, forearm, and wrist that can awaken you at night. Shaking and moving your fingers may ease the numbness and pain temporarily. Occasional numbness, pins and needle sensation, similar to the hand falling asleep.
Sounds terrible.
It sounds like the worst thing. Josh, you had a situation with your arm that we've been following very closely, where you had a bruise that got big, it got bigger, and it got even bigger. But then you started talking about how the pain in your arm, it wasn't going away. Last week, you described it as this like tingling and numbness and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, I've bruised myself deeply before. Lord knows how many times I've had a slips-a-daisy, a fall, and a big old smash skateboard. And good Lord, Mike, when we went off to Pastrana's place, I walked out of there looking like I had just been beaten into a gang. And I didn't feel any of that sort of stuff. So we're like, wait a minute, there's got to be something else here. And you went to the doctor.
How long has the pain been? Well, you said it was since the massage.
1 month ago.
Yeah, so roughly a month ago. Because you got a massage leading up to the first uncensored because you were super stressed out. You're like, a massage will help me to relax. You believe that the massage was a little too rough. They jacked you up a bit and caused some pain. Correct?
That's correct.
All right, sir.
That is correct. Sadly, it is correct. And
you went to a doctor. Did you go to our guy?
Yeah, I went to our guy. And
Dr. Thoreau.
Love that guy.
Yes.
Yeah, he's Dr. Thoreau, man.
Spread your cheeks.
So I told him a story about the massage, and he checked my right arm and had me squeeze his fingers.
What did he say about the bruise?
The bruise, he had a look of shock on his face. Because
the bruise was in an attempt to get rid of the pain.
Right.
Your trainer used a roller on you.
Yes.
To like hopefully knock something loose. But then.
Yeah.
So a massage. Dude, you have bad luck. A massage jacks y'all up. Then your trainer's like, all right, well, I'll straighten you out. He takes a roller to you. Next thing you know, your whole freaking arm is black and blue.
Yeah. But the black and blue doesn't. It bothers me if I press it.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't
that's
hurt.
Not the problem, right. Really.
It's a nerve thing.
Yeah. It's all connected.
Yeah.
You'd think that between the massage and the trainer thing and what you're wearing right now, it would all be connected. I truly believe it is just, it's a comedy of errors, and you have multiple stuff going on that the biggest underlying issue has nothing to do with the massage and nothing to do with the roller.
Yeah.
What were you diagnosed with?
So he did the squeeze the fingers.
Fingers, checked my strength, and he was really perplexed. He did not think that the massage caused the injury. And I mean, I kind of disagree with that, but I'm not a doctor. He just thinks it was a coincidence. He thinks that that somehow the nerve got affected, and that's what's causing the pain and the numbness. Because the area where she massaged, he said the nerves are very protected, and she would have had to go real deep to affect those.
As deep as she can get.
So he said, diagnosis, carpal tunnel syndrome.
That's it?
Which is fatal.
That's it?
It's terminal.
Stop it. It's got a 95% fatality rate. That's what we say in my house. Fatality rate.
So He told me to get this splint hand thing that you put on your my thumb comes out the left side. And so basically I have a claw now. I don't have an arm. I have a claw.
Wow.
And what else? Oh, he gave me steroids.
Oh, dude, start lifting. Yeah.
Super mad.
Yeah, I'm so muscular this morning.
Look at that, man. You've got the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, you got Thanos' gauntlet. Look at all five stones in there. Might color that thing up now, to look
I've
like
always
Thanos'
wondered. You always hear that, you know, steroids for whatever affliction. But what kind of steroids are they? Like, what do they do?
I have
they help
the,
with the recovery.
Right, but I mean...
Whoa! He's got the instructions. That looks like you're putting together a home entertainment system.
It came from the box. It's methylprednisone tablets. It's all sorts of things on this.
Sounds like a woman named Ethel smoking meth.
All the side effects, adverse reactions, musculoskeletal, dermatologic, neurological, metabolic.
Yeah, it helps with the inflammation.
Yeah. Ooh. So
increased sweating and acne.
Mm,
that's the last thing you need.
I don't like it.
Jesus. I don't like it.
Well.
Well, I mean, it's no secret that you have an acne.
He's going through enough.
We talk
right
about
now.
His pimples all the time. This is not a secret.
I don't recall bringing those up ever.
I have a lot of moles.
Kick him when he's down, man.
He's mole free, also.
So hopefully, you know, in a week it should be feeling better.
Now, when you work in the morning, I have a direct eye line to you, and Scott, I think you do also. That you're over there all day long, putting together papers, you're writing stuff, and you lean that hand and wrist right on the edge of that jagged counter, and I've pushed papers in an office before myself. Not to the degree that you're doing it, but I've leaned like this, and I gave myself a bit of a temporary carpal tunnel thing where the right side of my hand would just shoot up my arm. It was just from leaning on the damn thing, and then I got one of those gel mouse pads.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Man.
That's what I need.
Took care of it quickly. It was my cranking hand, too, which made it real difficult.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to have to take this thing off for typing. It's just too intrusive, too disruptive.
Oh, I bet that thing's
going
to smell
nice.
Well,
no, you got to leave
it
on. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, see that pad you're touching right in the palm of your hand, that big plastic strip? That's to relieve pressure on all those nerves inside of there.
Yeah.
Make sure it's not too tight.
My arm hurts.
Your arm.
So no painkillers?
Well, there are some painkillers. Only if I need them. And
you're
I decided, yeah, I did need them. Haven't taken any this morning yet. Have you heard of morphine?
Whoa.
No, it's not morphine. It is not morphine.
He's got a morphine drip. He's going to be real loosey-goosey about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Coming up, I'm going to tell management what the I think about him.
Right, you're hopped up on steroids and painkillers.
That's right.
Wow, that's each end of the spectrum. One of them gets you fired up and the other smooths you out.
Oh, I'm sure everything will be fine.
I got a morphine drip when I had that kidney stone of mine. I called an old friend of ours here, and for 45 minutes, I told him what I thought of everyone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if that conversation ever got out, I would be sent to Siberia. I guess, wear that gauntlet, man. It sucks. It's going to be uncomfortable.
Now my wrist hurts.
Oh, man. Now my ass itches.
It's contagious.
Well, Mike, you have this kind of the same... Remember my first complaint was when we moved to this new studio is that they got chairs without armrests?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have nowhere to... My mouse is like right here, and I have nowhere to put my arm so that then all the pressure is like right on my wrist. I'm going to sue.
Yeah, I think we got a case, man. Time to get a hold of Kadish. I think we're going to go ahead and drain this place dry. They hate rested arms, and they've permanently wounded Josh. He's got 6 months to live. If you've ever had carpal tunnel or known anyone with carpal tunnel, we know what you've been through. Call Kadish. If you've been affected by carpal tunnel and your arm fell off while wiping your ass, 410-338-1098.
Are you going to be dealing with this the rest of your life?
It's permanent.
It should heal in about a week, he said. If not, I will follow up.
It's also hereditary. You will pass it on to your offspring.
Oh, no.
Your child will be born with a gnarled up right arm.
You know, lifting my dog may have exacerbated it as well because I pick him up. He's 28 pounds. And
that's your leash hand?
No, I use my left hand for my leash, but I hold him in my right arm. I love holding him like a baby.
Like a sack of groceries.
Yeah, because it's the only baby I'll ever have.
Oh, gosh.
I love holding him, but in the past couple of days, I've refrained from picking him up.
He's very upset about that.
Were you upset? Were you upset at all when you found out that none of the things were connected and you just had the worst run of bad luck on a right arm that anyone probably has had this year?
I was very, yeah, I was surprised that the massage had nothing to do with it. He said I've never seen where a massage would have done this to, because the specific nerve that is affected wouldn't have been affected from the massage. So he said I've never seen that before. So I said, well, doctor, I should be in a journal. And he laughed. That made him laugh. A little bit of humor in the exam room.
I felt kind of the same way when I did the whole coffin hacking thing forever. And I thought it was just me, yeah. Just being cut from weak stock. I mean, 200 years ago, I don't survive the winter. And me, whenever I get colds, it lasts forever. And I finally go in thinking, okay, maybe it's acid reflux. Taking all those pills doesn't work. Maybe, again, just weak stock. I've got tiny lungs. No, not the same thing. And finally, my cardiologist of all people is like, yeah, you got asthma. Like, oh, okay, so none of the things that are going on with me have anything to do with each other. I am just, I'm a poorly put together Frankenstein of a little boy.
Did your doctor take your weight?
No.
That's only during the checkups.
Yeah, I do like, what I like about this doctor is he really compartmentalizes, okay? If I'm in there for one thing, he's not addressing my weight.
Nah, he said something to me last time when I went, what'd I go for last time?
Let's check some oil.
Your kidney?
Yeah, my kidney. Well, my kidney was hurting me, and they took blood and pee pee and all that stuff. He made me get undressed, and he goes, did you gain some weight from last time?
Oh, no.
Jesus. And I went, well, and I kind of said, I bought a house, and I've been under a lot of stress.
Did you eat the house?
I've been doing a lot of stress eating, so yeah. That might be it.
Good Lord. Did he really say that to you?
He's a doctor. Yeah, it's his job. If he can't, then who can?
I know, but it's like, we know. It's not like we don't have a mirror in our bathroom, for God's sake. You don't have to bring it up.
Not being judgmental. He's looking at it from a health standpoint.
Wow, look at this.
Nurse, smell this. Quickly.
You don't need to be fat shamed in the doctor's office.
I mean, actually, yeah. If there's any place you need to be fat shamed, it is the doctor's office.
That's the guy who does it.
I don't want my dentist to tell my yellow teeth are beautiful.
It's backed by science and like health and reasons and like diabetes and high blood pressure and heart disease and everything else that comes along with it. He's not just going, oh, God.
Yuck. Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, he's great. I love him.
He is. He's the greatest. Thank you for getting me in there. Yeah. Well, thank you to Christina, too. Shout out, Christina!
Well, when I left, he said, you know, let me know how it goes. And he said, you know, if I don't see you before the holidays, have a nice holiday.
It's a good touch.
You know, I wouldn't even think to say that to
somebody. Has he ever mentioned me?
No, because I think
have you seen
Scott's weight? They want to be careful about...
Your boy's getting big, Josh.
They don't want to do that.
Confidentiality.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to say your friend Schmott Schmierden's getting schmassive, but still, schmassive. Oh. Well, Josh, I hope you have your affairs in order. Please get a life insurance policy and know that we will see to it that Farfel thrives.
Oh, it's carpal tunnel.
Okay, sorry.
Suck it up, pussy.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Wow, I got a chance to fanboy out about one of my favorite film series yesterday. Robert Patrick, the T-1000 Liquid Metal Terminator, joined us on the show. And I guess I'm a little embarrassed to admit it. I've seen him in plenty of films, and I guess the guy is capable of using different inflections and tones in his voice. I didn't realize that he had kind of a country drawl to his voice. Did you know that, Mike?
I guess I didn't, but I mean, I guess he did when we were talking. Well, you'll hear me bring up Fire in the Sky, but I guess he kind of used that accent in Fire in the Sky, where he plays kind of like a, you know, backwoods logger.
Yeah, he also did that in Walk the Line. I mean, he was in the he was in that with Phoenix, with Joaquin Phoenix, and yeah, he's a good dude. He's very you can tell he's a pro. I think, Scott, you like to say that a lot. Like, you can tell this person's a pro.
Well, when they make it easy for us, you know, you get a lot of these people that they're just like,
yeah. I'd prefer to talk about my new project.
Robert, we know we all know that he has talked about Terminator 2 a bazillion times. But this is the first time we've ever gotten to talk to him about it, and he makes it seem like he's still excited to talk about it. It makes it sound like it's the first time he's ever talked about it. He's still got that passion for it. He doesn't, like, you know, you can't detect any kind of verbal eye roll from the person. And when they make it easy and they're just fun and upbeat and great, he was a great dude. And as we were doing the interview, I was monitoring the text and we got a bunch of texts just speaking to his character. A lot of people have had like run-ins with him. There were some people that worked on movie sets with him that said he was great. There was people that said that he visited the troops in Afghanistan when he was there, and he said it was phenomenal and just a great dude, apparently.
Great. Well, be sure to turn into news this week when we find out that he felt someone when he grabbed Arnold's ass.
That's definitely going to happen.
Here we are, Robert Patrick. We got to talk to him about his new show, Scorpion. Might have a guest sooner rather than later. Mike, am I getting a thumbs up? A thumbs up? Okay, we'll kill this. We'll drop that. I'll pop this and play this.
Hey, Amelia's got one more chance for you to win some U2 tickets at the Capital One Arena in D.C. on June 17th. She's got a double shot coming your way of U2 between 11 and noon. Just text the title of the second song to 410-338-1098. Random Texture's going to win those tickets. For a complete set of rules, you can head to 90online.com.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't wait. Found out that this was coming across the table and going to be joining us on the air, and I just about set fire to my pantalones. Joining us on the program, CBS, Mondays, 10 o'clock, 9 central. He's my favorite of all the Skynet systems, the T-1000 liquid metal badass himself, Robert Patrick. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, man.
Morning to the morning show with Scott, Justin, and Josh.
Good morning.
Oh, my God. He knows us.
Oh, man. He said my name.
Baltimore, Washington, D.C.
Easy. No, just Baltimore. We don't care about the D.C. Get out of D.C.
They don't care about D.C.?
Nah, not really. I mean, they've got another
Well, they got some great memorials up there.
They do. Terrible traffic and subpar women, but we like them around here the way we like them. Vaping with a neck tat.
That's funny.
Robert, before we get into Scorpion, you're going to have to let me fanboy here out for a second, sir.
Please do.
There was a year when, you know, the original Terminator 2 came out, and I pleaded with my father in 1991. I had no business going to see that film at the age of 12, but by God, he let me go anyways. And James Cameron, responsible for two of the greatest sequels of all time, Aliens and Terminator 2, and your role in that film as the liquid metal T-1000 changed the game for special effects in movies. When you were shooting that film, did you have any idea that you would be playing such an iconic role that would be analyzed and mulled over, studied and emulated for decades to come in film?
Well, that's a good question. I knew that it was. I knew that there was a lot of fuss being done over the character and you know, the importance of the role, and I didn't realize maybe that it was going to be quite so iconic. I can say that you know, that role presented a whole list of challenges that we had to address. It was the first time an actor had been digitized, and the first ever motion capture, and there wasn't even motion capture technology at the time, so it was all being invented for that character. A young man by the name of Steve Williams, I think he was about 25 years old, was the animator out of Industrial Light and Magic, and he developed the software and created the liquefaction of the character. And I didn't realize, you know, I just knew that there was a lot of things that I had to do that we were having to come up with on the spot. So I'm very, very proud of that film. I can't think of a cooler way to be introduced to the world than the liquid metal.
Because that actually turned you into a household name. Fast forward 1 year later, my parents take me to the far more appropriate to watch Wayne's World 2. Out of nowhere, you have a cameo in that film. I've never seen a theater explode to this day from any comedy I've ever seen, any, oh my God, this is a crossover at that film. Never have I seen a theater come unglued the way that the T-1000 pulls over Wayne and Garth, holds up a photo of John Connor. Have you seen this boy? Everyone screams. People were throwing their drinks at each other. They were going so nuts. How did you get approached to do that?
Well, that was an interesting thing. The movie with Terminator 2 was still out in theaters when they were making Wayne's World, and the film had, you know, was just a powerhouse in the theater. And Lauren Michaels actually came up with the idea of casting the role of the cop pulling him over with me. Mike Myers evidently didn't think it was a good idea and didn't really want to do it, didn't back Lauren Michaels when he suggested it. But he insisted, and Penelope Spheris and I got together that day, and we did that scene. By the time the movie was finished and it came out in theaters, Penelope and I went and saw it at the Man's Chinese here in Hollywood, and we're both very, very excited about the reaction because it did get the biggest laugh in the movie.
We're talking to Robert Patrick and Scorpion, Monday nights, 10 p.m. CBS. Tell us about that.
Monday nights, 10 o'clock, CBS, Scorpion, team of geniuses saving problems. I'm the federal agent that handles them, and this is a particularly emotional episode for my character. There's a long storyline, but I'm actually losing my position with Homeland, and I might be going to prison, and one of my guys is defending me, and it's causing me all sorts of stress, and certain things in my backstory are coming up, and they help me deal with some issues that I have.
Robert, what's the hardest part about playing a villain?
The hardest part about playing a villain? Well, I don't know if there's a hardest part per se, but it's a great thing to be able to choose some of the stuff you do, and you're not really responsible for it. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Do you have to get in touch, like as an actor, do you have to get in touch with something inside of yourself that is like the person you're playing, or is it all make-believe?
Well, it is all make-believe, but there also you do have to get in touch with certain aspects of your own humanity that you have to reveal. There have been roles that I've turned down that I just thought were too dark. There are things, you know, that you're not really sure you want to bring up and expose that you might have in your personality. You know what I mean? It's sort of a hit or miss. There's certain things that I will do. There's certain things that I won't do. But as an artist, you know, that's your job is basically to reveal these aspects of human nature and hold them up for people to take a look at.
You know, it's another great film of yours. If you want to get really deep into the catalog of Robert Patrick, it was you, Terry Hatcher, and I think Ian Buchanan, 1994's The Cool Surface.
Wow, that's a dark movie. Yeah.
Dude, that is a dark movie. That movie
is...
That's a killer movie, man. You play. I don't want to give away too much for those that haven't seen it, but it starts off relatively pleasant and it goes down a rabbit hole of depravity. That film stuck with me after I saw it.
Well, I'm glad you took a look at that one because that was the first film I did after T2, to be honest with you, and it was a very, very dark portrayal. That was disturbing. Actually, there were some elements of that character that. To play that were a little disturbing.
Eesh.
I just had a movie that was just released. It's still available. You can stream it. It's called Last Rampage, The Escape of Gary Tyson, where I play a convicted murderer who escapes prison with the help of his three teenage boys.
Oh, wow.
And it's based on a story in 1978. Heather Graham is my wife, and Bruce Davison's in it. Anyway, it's a... It's the darkest role I've ever played.
Damn, done, because you've done some dark stuff. Mike Anderson.
I was going to ask, Robert, you're in one of my favorite movies, especially my favorite alien movie, Fire in the Sky.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good guy.
Yes. Yeah.
You're a decent person in that one, sir.
And I know
I was somebody my mama was proud of.
And you weren't obviously in the saucer scenes, but were you privy to any of those special effects? Because I swear to God, those are the scariest aliens I've ever seen on the big screen.
Well, it was the same special effects scene that did Terminator 2, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
As a matter of fact, I got a whole crew of those guys coming into my house today. They're doing another documentary on T2. It's the same guys that did Fire in the Sky, or the same guys that did Fire in the Sky did T2. So... Yeah, they're on top of the game as far as the visual effects.
And let me ask, how has Scorpion survived the way that it has four seasons? It doesn't look like it's stopping. When there's so much really good TV on right now, I like to say we've kind of hit a golden age of some really good scripted series television. You got Netflix doing everything. CBS is doing their thing to where the market's pretty crowded, and you see a lot of shows that seem to be a good concept. They're one and done, maybe one full season, one half season, and you never quite know when you're going to get on board with a project that's going to have staying power or not. But by the look of it, Scorpion and this team of experts that you've put together, it's succeeded, it's thriving, it's doing well. Where's Scorpion done well where others haven't?
Well, Scorpion it's a very, very unique show. It was sold to me as a one-hour drama about a federal agent that has a team of geniuses to solve problems. The neat thing about Scorpion, and I think the appeal to the audience is the characters themselves. They like the characters, and they want to invite them into their house each week. It's interesting to see it, because the show is, if you look at it on the surface, it's just a procedural. Okay, there's going to be a problem, they're going to solve it, but it's the backstories of each of the characters, the relationships themselves. There's the comedic element of the show. The show has gotten funnier and funnier as time's gone by, season after season, and I think that's what makes it so unique. It's something you can watch with your family, and the adults are going to get something from it, and the kids are going to get something from it. I love it. I think it's one of the coolest shows I've ever done,
and
for those reasons.
It's on Monday nights, 10 p.m., CBS, Scorpion with Robert Patrick. And simple question, yes, no, or you can't answer it. The Terminator franchise is going back to James Cameron. He's going to get it back. It lost its way after the one you did, Terminator 2. All the other sequels just stumbled, bumbled, or were just flat out awful. And it's going to have Cameron back producing. You're going to have the guy that directed Deadpool directing it. Arnold's back. Linda Hamilton is back. What's the possibility of us seeing you in a new James Cameron-led return-to-form Terminator? Can you say anything?
It's not going to happen with me.
Damn it.
I'm not watching it.
I'm done with this.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day, that film, that role, I did it. And I think I've done it the best I can do it. And it's not something I'm going to revisit, at least not in the immediate future. Maybe, down the road we'll do something. But I can't do that again. I mean, that's about 27 years ago.
I know.
You're looking forward, not looking back. Yeah. And be sure to look for Scorpion Monday nights, 10 p.m. Robert Patrick, man, you've got an amazing career, some fantastic films. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, sir.
God bless you all. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. There he goes, Robert Patrick.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So, Scott, have you come any closer to deciding on a particular breed of a new dog?
I want that one dog people talked about. That dog. What was the name of it, Mike?
The Hungarian.
Yeah,
something.
That one. That's the one.
The Hungarian Vizsla or whatever.
Vizsla.
The Hungarian Vizsla.
God, I did some research on them. I want one of them dogs.
That's a good
really
looking
want
dog,
one of them
man.
Dogs.
Do you know that those dogs can also? This is crazy. Look at this, Mike. I could pull up on the screen. When they get older, they grow mustaches. God. A Hungarian Vizsla. When they get older, God, they're a good-looking puppy, too. Jeez, tell me that isn't an Ansel Adams photo or the puppy shot right there. But when they get older, they're snout, it gets really hairy, and it looks like an old seafaring man.
God, I want this dog. Anybody got a lead on him? Shoot me an email.
Are they expensive?
I don't care, man. I mean, what are you going to do?
What's your price? What's the highest you
I don't
go?
What did you pay?
Moose was $1,700.
Which holy was, hell!
Whoa,
that's a steal for a French bulldog.
That's a steal.
They're typically around $3,000.
Three? I've never heard of dogs are that much money. Am I naive?
If you want a blue French bulldog, you're talking about $7,000.
Good
what? God,
am
man.
I horrifically naive? Did I not know that was a thing?
I had no
idea. I googled
idea.
The cost of these things, and it said like $1,800 was the top.
I found my cats in an alley. One of them was covered in expired cream in a banana peel.
Oh, you can't put a price on love.
You really can't, especially the
affectionate
love.
Affectionate with family. It's 5 stars.
Incredibly kid-friendly, 5 stars. Dog-friendly, 5 stars. Friendly towards stranger, 5 stars. Amount of shedding, very low, only 2 stars. Drooling potential, 1 star. Doesn't drool. Easy to groom, 5 stars. General health, 4 stars. I like this dog.
Keep it
tuned.
And
this woman called in, and you'll hear her. She, like, mentioned, you'll hear all these calls. We got so many breeds of dogs that we had, like, never even heard before. And people are swearing by these breeds. Because, I mean, if you think about it, in top of your head, you maybe know, like, 10 or 20 breeds or something. But there's all these breeds out there that don't get any recognition.
You guys used to play the cheese game in here, how many cheeses you can name. Maybe we'll start doing that with guests. How many dog breeds can you name? See who's got the most, because you'll hear in the clip coming up when we try to decide what type of new dog breed should Scott get. We heard all kinds of crazy specimens we have never heard before. Hear it now again on Behind the Curtain. We've had a year. We first had the passing of a dear friend, our beautiful Pumpernickel. And Josh, it wasn't that long afterwards that you then got another family member. Gorgeous Farfel. We got to meet one time and then never again. Thanks a lot. And Scott, you went through the same thing. You also lost a family member, your beautiful pet, Giorgio.
Yeah.
And said, you know what? The little one grew attached. Lord knows that was Chiquita's baby for years prior to an actual baby. I mean, good Lord, she dressed the dog up and pushed him around in a little stroller.
Mm-hmm.
And you said yesterday you're thinking about picking up a new friend.
Well, yeah, I mean, Stella's old enough now where she, you know, thinks freely, and she was kind of on her own, had a little circular for toys, and we're just like, yeah, circle the toys you want, and she circled like a kitty cat thing, and then she circled like this tiger thing, and she circled something else, then she came over to Chiquita and I, and she was like, she goes, yeah, I want all of these, but I want them to be real pets because I don't have a pet anymore because my pet died and I want a new pet. And we were like,
oh,
whoa. So, yeah, she's she wants a new pet. She's sad. She misses her dog. And so we're like, damn, we got to make this happen.
Yeah.
Sooner than later, it's looking like we just want to, you know, get a new dog in there, much like Spiegel did. Just get on, you know, get on with life. Get some more love in that house.
Yeah, baby. You're talking about that golden doodle yesterday. I had never even heard of a golden doodle, which is a it's half golden retriever, half poodle. And people love it. Here are the temperaments. Intelligent, trainable, energetic, friendly, loyal, compassionate. It seems like the dog can get along with everyone.
Definitely gotten a lot of people checking in about golden doodles. Not a bad thing to say.
Low to non-shedding coat.
And they're hypoallergenic as well, because I do deal with allergies.
They put out a natural Wi-Fi signal.
Yep.
You can get online with them.
Mm-hmm.
If the dog sits on your phone, a asshole can charge your phone. Pretty incredible. It's got 3 USB ports, 4K. Cross-platform play. I love everything about it. The golden doodle. A lot of people checking in about different breeds yesterday. A couple of dachshund quotes. Some boxers. The boxer turns out to be a good dog. I had a boxer with the ex, and then, you know, when we split, she got custody of the dog. And it was a little difficult at first. A boxer puppy can be rambunctious, but, you know, they get older. Those things are just absolute angels.
Yeah, that was on my list. They were trendy for a while, but I don't care about trends. I just care about good dogs. And like you said, they're just really good dogs.
Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Thank you so much, Ron, the puppet master. Look at that.
There's so many good breeds out there.
That dog has human lips. Good Lord. You could put lip gloss on that dog. Josh, you ever seen the lips of a chest? Look at that right there. Tell me you couldn't smooch that. Look at that little nugget of meat right over there.
That's very impressive. Mm. I heard they only retrieve from the Chesapeake Bay.
That's it. Don't take it to another body of water because you ain't going to get out of it. You got to take it to the Chesapeake Bay.
They do have weird hair, though.
The Chesapeake Bay Retriever?
It's like this weird, matty, curly
hair. Wiry because they spend a lot of time in the water.
Yes, like my pubic peel-off.
My buddy had one growing up. Mike's all about the hair. You're hung up on the hair.
That's a big factor for me because I like to pet a short-haired dog.
We know that, Mike.
What dog has a huge dong, too? One that won't be distracting, but you're still proud of it.
I could be wrong, but I think my dog's penis is growing.
I'm not sure, but that's probably just my imagination.
I don't know. That dog is still a young, growing boy.
Yeah.
Well-trimmed, I'll say that. You gave your dog's penis a flat top, which I didn't even think was possible.
Oh, I can't take credit for that. The groomer did that.
God bless.
Like one wrong move with the scissors and that thing is gone.
Oof.
I'll tell you that much. That is a micro penis.
Has it ever come out?
You know, I feel very uncomfortable looking at it. I don't think I've looked at his crotch for more than a half a second.
No Red Rocket?
No. I don't know if it has to do with... If they're neutered, do they still get aroused?
Oh, yeah.
Do they really?
Oh, cool.
Well, my dog does, that's for sure.
Okay, I didn't know that.
My balls off then.
I didn't know that. So maybe... Okay, that would explain the
ball. I can get my avocados chopped off and still maintain a John Thomas. I'm all about it. On the cusp of a new family member.
I think I may have flipped the script here. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to get a new dog. And Mike thought it'd be a good idea to ask the masses, the peeps out there, our friends. Yeah. What's up?
What's up?
What should I get? Somebody, I was thinking like a golden doodle, a golden retriever a poodle mix.
Would you Labradoodle? Ever consider another Chihuahua?
No.
Just good on that for now.
Small, man. Thing's 5 pounds. I want a dog. This is like, that was like Stella's like intro to dogs, right?
Gotcha.
She kind of knew him. Like, she didn't really, you know, fall in love with him or get what he was all about until she was like two. So she had like 2 good years to like be like, oh, this is my dog. This is a cool thing. I like this. But I want a dog. So now she's 4, right? Say this dog lives like 10 years, 10, 11, 12 years. And that's 4 all the way up until about 14. So this is going to be like her
a big chunk of her
childhood dog. And I want a dog that she's able to like take on walks.
Yeah, yeah.
A dog she's able to like play with, maybe roughhouse a little with, you know. Not a, like a toy that you have to be so delicate with.
Or on the other end of the spectrum, you don't need some bull mastiff yanking her arm out the socket.
No. Yeah, we want to, you know.
When the damn thing, you know, drags her through a cornfield.
Nothing over 70 pounds. But
nothing she could put a saddle on.
Like a chihuahua, you walk that dog half a block and the thing's tired. And you can't. Like we get that big school across the way with a lot of grass. Take the dog out there, throw a tennis ball.
Let her and the dog eat some grass.
For hours, that whole thing, you know, just like something like that.
Collect some old gum.
And then somebody floated Rhodesian Ridgeback, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, let me look up. That sounds...
I knew somebody that had one of their beautiful dogs, and then I did some research, and like they're apparently a pretty decent breed. Like,
I've seen these before. I just didn't know what they were called.
Affectionate with family.
Oh, they got that like black snout.
Ton. Incredibly friendly with kids. Yes.
Large sphincter.
Dog friendly. Yes.
Whoa.
Friendly to strangers. Yes.
That's a big bottle.
Grooming is no shedding. Grooming is easy. Health is great. Size, they're a little bit of a bigger dog, but.
Whoa. You want to hear another awesome stat about the Rhodesian Ridgeback? Holy hell.
Yeah, what they were bred for?
They could kill lions.
Yeah, dude. They were bred for hunting lions.
Dude. Because you've got that one neighbor with a lion that's constantly keeping the damn thing off the leash. Oh, wow.
Yep.
And I'm sorry. I can never remember the gentleman's name. The good brother that owns the Royal Farms Arena. He's got himself a couple of them big bull mastiffs, them big guys, some big sons of bitches. He's in that that Barks ad where he's kind of cuddling them both, giving them a good squeeze.
Too big,
but God, they look cute.
Yeah, somebody sent me a picture of their Rhodesian Ridgeback, and it is gorgeous. I mean, look at that.
Look here.
That's huge.
That's a big dog, but a beautiful dog.
Yeah, they get big. That's the only issue. They get they're up a little bit on the big side.
You need human eyes in a dog.
It says here
like
the
Farfel.
Weight on these bad boys can get between 70 and 85 pounds.
I don't think that I didn't notice that Farfel was undressing me with those human eyes. Like, oh, this is a guy you're telling me about that? Yeah. Oh, you're making my micro penis tingle. Mike, was the Nudie Moose your French bulldog? Was that a replacement dog for Bun Bun, the bunny?
Yeah, I guess
Bun
it
Bun!
Was. Because we were going to replace Bun Bun with a Flemish giant rabbit. For whatever, my family was like hell-bent about stopping that from happening. So they all pitched in, and for Christmas that year, they got me the Nudie Moose.
I'm getting the other side of it. Andrew Faulkner, Ridgebacks are crazy. Andy Gonzalez, Dalmatians are amazing. No, they're not. One of those things almost tried to kill me once.
Talk about a dog that's crazy.
Yeah, Dalmatians are bananas. If they love you, it's the greatest friend in the world. That spotted Cruella de Vil hating breed will walk with you into the fires of hell. But if it does not like you, I was trapped in a basement once because of two Dalmatians that would not let me go upstairs to take a dump. I almost went to the bathroom outside in my mid-20s because there were two Dalmatians upstairs just... And what was the dog that bit my face? If you look at the Great Dane, if you look at the...
didn't you put your head in its face?
I went down to give it a face rub. Yeah. To be like, hey, how you doing? I made eye contact. Right. The thing immediately bites a chunk out of my cheek. If you see the stubble photo that's going around right now, so Justin, keep the scruff, you can see the piece that's missing. And then I got a really nice email from one of the people there at that dog adoption event that said, way to go, a-hole. You're going to get the dog put down, you son of a bitch. I hope that you know you've taken a dog's life. By the way, dog's fine right now. Still drawing breath.
But, King Corso. Get out of here.
What is that?
Oh, dude, look up King Corso.
King Corso?
Are you kidding me?
Sounds like a rapper from Miami.
He's like the biggest giant.
Whoa!
Yeah, dude, those things are awesome, but I don't think I want one of those.
I think I remember a story. I think it was the King Corso.
King Corso.
Back in California, there was a story about a woman who was killed by two of her own.
Yeah.
No, and there was a rumor going around that she was having sex with them, too.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Horrible story.
Like the dude in Florida that f***ing all those alligators.
A terrible story.
I feel like if you f*** an alligator, you should be allowed to get away with
very
it.
Strange.
Let's go to the phones. Thank you so much, those that have been holding. Let's
damn, all these people, lots of breeds out there.
Tina. Baltimore, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, love. Thank you for holding.
Of course. How you guys doing this morning?
Very well.
Pretty good. Don't ruin it.
Okay, I'll do my best to not ruin it. you should get a Hungarian Vizsla.
Wow. See, that's what I mean. All these breeds, we just Google feverishly. We're like, what is that?
Wow, that sounds cool. Because if you're living in my world, you know what you get? A cat.
Exactly.
And there's like Hungarian Bichnus and Cane Corsos and Vizslas and Goulash Rottweilers. In my world, cat. What is the,
Is that the dog from the cover of the Beck album? No.
Probably not. I'm not really sure. I haven't seen that album cover.
It's a thinner dog. What? Affectionate, loyal, quiet.
I haven't seen that album cover.
So I had two growing up. We had them for 11 and 13 years. And
that's a beautiful dog. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love Vizslas. They're absolutely amazing. They're excellent with kids. They also are like cats, how they're self-cleaning, so they're licking themselves a lot.
Ooh, nice. That's a big thumbs up. Yeah. Just
can I watch?
Can I watch the dog cleanse itself? Oh, there we are, buddy. That's a
beautiful
dog.
Mike, what do you think? Mike's always obviously the barometer. Okay, short-haired. You can pet it, right, Mike? And you can whack its ass real hard like you like to.
Yeah, it's a good firm haunch.
Good firm haunch.
Give me some of that. Boom!
Okay.
It just looks like a smaller lab almost.
I've never even heard of this dog. And where the hell would I get one around here? Hungarian Vizsla.
Got to go to Hungary. What's up, Matt? Florida. Checking in. Are you listening to Florida right now, brother?
Yeah, man. How's it going, guys?
What's up,
love you guys' show.
Hey, shout out.
Hey, man.
Thank you for supporting me.
Hey, brother.
Why do you live in Florida?
Yeah, man. We moved down right before the hurricane, about a week.
Oh,
perfect
right.
Timing.
Good.
Yeah, right. Believe it. You talk about wigging out and trying to get water down here and gas. Ooh. It was nuts, man. Nuts for about a week.
So what are you thinking?
But hey, the dog is a Great Dane. You want to get a European blue. You talk about being the apple of its eye. We've got one, and I tell you what, it is the most gentle. It's big, about $140. You talk about gentle.
Let me ask you a question.
Loving.
All right, okay, we get it. We know. Danes are amazing. A, don't they? They have a short lifespan. I know that. And B, what are the dumps like? They have to just be massive dumps.
They got to be huge. I'm not cleaning that up.
No. And I'm the one stuck cleaning it up. This is going to end up being my dog. How big are the dumps?
Oh man, they're about the size of a cantaloupe.
Oh,
too big.
You ain't selling us.
Couple handfuls. You were about to say,
yeah.
You need three plastic bags.
Oh God, yeah. I don't need anything the size of a yam. Okay. We've dealt with enough yams in our time at this point. Thank you for the call, buddy. All right, yeah. Now this is a dog breed I've seen many times. I believe it's probably the most petted dog. If you see one, you just can't help but take your damn dirty, grubby fingers.
I know what it is.
And put it on this dog's face. What's up, Bob in Westminster?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
How you doing, Bobby?
Hey,
Them dog, English bulldogs are so good for your soul, it is pathetic.
I love it.
I love it.
They're family oriented. The more people they're around, the better they like it. They're good for your soul. I'm on my second one, and I'll have five more.
God bless you. God bless
you,
sir.
Happy for you, man. I'm not getting an English bulldog, but I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I'm happy you're happy, sir.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good luck to the next five that you get. Not sure why they're having to rip through bulldogs so quickly. Lifespan's not great. 7 to 10 years.
A lot of health problems. You got to clean them folds. Mm-hmm. They drool a lot. They shed. Yeah, I had a friend with an English bulldog.
You see a bulldog, though. Like, what is it? Poor Boys? Poor Boys Sports? I think one of the owners there has one. Just lets the dog kind of roam around.
Yep.
You walk in there and all you want to do is just squeeze that dog's face. Let's go to one more. Ooh. This is definitely a no, but I want to hear him sell you on it. Nick and Dundalk, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey. Well, you're doing the right thing. You're starting off with the research, because that's what you want to do, first of all, when you're picking a dog. Yes, you want to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into.
That's right, sir.
Just like Josh did.
Yes. And by the way, my condolences to both of you guys having to put your dogs down. That's not easy.
Good for him, sir.
Well, I didn't put mine down. He just died unexpectedly.
For me, I work long hours, so I wanted a dog that I knew would protect my family.
Oh, yeah.
While I'm not there. So I looked in on them. I mean, there's a lot of great dogs out there, man. You've got German Shepherds. You've got Dobermans. You've got Pit Bulls. You've got Bulldogs. You've got Rottweilers. And the one that I picked on that I looked up and did a lot of research on the most was the Rottweiler.
Yeah.
You know, if you get one of them when they're puppies and you raise it with your children, they won't, you know, you don't have to worry about that dog yanking your daughter's arm out of the socket, because if you train that dog properly to walk beside you, give that dog about 6 inches of leash. That's all you need. That dog will walk with you, not pull you. And you also need to control that dog, because any dog you get, you have to control. You can't let them tell you who can come in your house and who can't.
Nick, hey, question. We brought this up yesterday. Is it a myth or is it true that Rottweilers have just wicked diarrhea, like all the time, around the clock?
No, that's not true. Not true at all.
No, never mind. Cancel the Rottweiler.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Well, 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 Joshy. You called it. Thursday. Pauly Shore came in yesterday, and towards the end of the show on Friday, you're like, I know it. He's going to want to touch me. He's going to want to grab me. He's going to zero in on me, and he ain't in here for 30 seconds. 30 seconds before he is playing grab ass with you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. He has a little bit of a fixation on me. I think he has a thing for me. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but if I'm not flirting back and not reciprocating, leave me alone. For some reason he started doing it the last time he was here, and then he wasn't as annoying this year. I kind of liked him this time around.
It seemed a little bit more playful. Like in the past he was a little confrontational, but yeah, he was playful.
I think he's getting more and more comfortable with us as he comes through year to year.
Yeah,
it was, we've always tried, like you'll hear me say coming up, like we're always fascinated by him. Like the way I asked Gilbert earlier in the week that, like, yes, I'm not comparing Gilbert Godfrey and Pauly Shore, okay? Relax. Everybody relax. I'm just saying the way Gilbert Godfrey has taken on this, you know, another level. There's like another level to Gilbert now. He's, I don't know if the word is legend, but there's this fascination with him. I think a lot of us who grew up in the 90s have that same kind of fascination with Pauly.
Yeah.
As to, like, you know, who's the real Pauly and what's it like growing up in L.A. at the comedy? What is the Comedy Store?
Yeah, yeah. With
just
Mitzi.
Such an interesting life he's led. And he's got that kind of, you know, deeper layer to him where you just want to. And in years past, he's kind of been very standoffish and hasn't really, you know, played the game. And it's like when people sit down on Howard Stern's couch, they just kind of spill all the guts.
Yeah.
But when they come here, they're like, I don't know, you guys. I might
never see you guys again. Yeah, the next time I come through, it'll be an all new group of people.
Yeah, I'm not talking about any of that stuff. But you'll hear this time coming up, he talked about a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff, especially about his agent. And how it ties into a lot of the stuff with the sexual assault in Hollywood's, particularly Terry Crews. That was one of the bigger revelations, like, whoa, who his agent was and how he ties into what Josh likes to call the Perv NATO.
I like
Mike Anderson.
I was going to say, I like how he called you Spiegelman, which after Friday, I think that's what I'm going to call you from here on out, Spiegelman.
Okay. Oh, cool. Hope you like working with broken arms. It's really hard to type when your hand has been shattered by a meat tenderizer. But no, keep up the Spiegelman. Let's see how long that lasts.
Do you dislike it, Josh? Or?
What? Do I dislike? No, I don't dislike it, but I like my real name, too.
Pauly Shore joined us on Justin Scott and Spiegelman. It's Behind the Curtain.
Get in here. We're on the air. You got stains on your shirt? Damn, Pauly Shore.
Sometimes they're on. I know. I look like I'm on drugs, but I'm actually not on drugs.
You just got right off the plane, didn't you?
Yeah, I just got off the plane. Oh,
man. Oh, how long was the flight?
Oh.
Who cares, man? It was terrible.
Can you sleep on planes, Pauly Shore?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Yeah, there he is. Pauly Shore, my group of show pals all weekend.
Good to see you,
thank you.
Tomorrow night.
Thank you. Nice to see you. You look beautiful. Good yentif to you, my fellow Jewish friends.
Yes.
Can I touch you again?
Sure. Yeah,
yeah. It's coming around for it. It's one of Josh's favorite things.
He needs a Spiegel pal.
There you go. Thank you. Nice to see you. What? I'm not pushing you. Wow! Don't touch my breast. See what I mean? See what I mean, guys?
It's a Jewish connection you feel? It's a Jewish connection?
Everybody here thinks I'm crazy.
Good to see you, man.
I'm crazy.
Spiegelman, what's up?
not much. How are you?
I'm good. Don't judge me, bro.
I'm not judging
you. Don't push me away like you do all the other people in your life.
Never. How do you know that? Do you remember that?
You told me that last time.
God.
But, so I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Appreciate it. Having you in
this here, is like a conveyor belt of comedians for you, right? Every Friday. Like,
Man. We passed on anybody else. We found out you were coming in. No BS. We're like, let's just talk to Pauly.
Like, who's the next numbnut that's coming through?
You got a dog, Pauly Shore?
I've had several dogs.
What kind of dogs does Pauly
have? Lab Chow mix.
Lab Chow.
Ooh.
Great. So we went up the phone lines yesterday. I'm looking for like a new dog and... These people,
Lab Chows are cool.
Yeah, there's like so many different breeds.
Dude, there's like some new rule. There's some new rule in California about adoption. I think you can only adopt dogs. Right. You can't buy dogs anymore.
Well, I was afraid to do. It's a good point because we were afraid to even talk about it.
Go easy, bro.
We were afraid to talk about it last hour because it's the same thing. God forbid you say you want to like buy a dog. It's the blowback is insanity.
Makes sense though,
I guess, but I mean, aren't people free to do what they want?
Yeah, but there's so many unwanted dogs out there.
Okay, well, every dog needs a home, whether you're getting it wherever you're
getting
it
paying from. Cash for it or not, right?
There's a lot of unwanted kids out there. I decided to do one naturally. I didn't adopt.
Yeah,
head on down to the orphan
right
pound.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Let's move on. That's a hot button issue. You got the flip-flops on, Pauly. What was the weather in L.A.?
I don't know. I think it's funny. I'm like, oh, you know what? It's going to be just like it is in Baltimore and it's L.A.
You know? It's going to be 40 degrees.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cold. I got warmer clothes, though.
Okay, good.
So it's good.
What airline are you flying? What do you take?
I flew on United.
And are you sitting? Are you picking the seat? Are you doing aisle? Obviously, you're doing first class.
I didn't fly first.
You didn't fly first?
No, I like to fly in the back.
You like to be with the common man.
Exactly.
Around the good folk.
Plus, I want them to see me back there and go, geez, what happened to him?
What happened to that
dude?
You
know what I mean? I thought he was the first class guy. Now he's in coach with the Crusties.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I listened to your Joe Rogan Experience. Mm. I'm a Joe Rogan fan. I listened to the Joe Rogan Experience back, I think it was August, earlier this year.
Yeah.
You're on there, or like towards the end of summer, and you had like a really good, honest conversation with him about movies and everything that you've done and like the machine that is MTV, just like forgetting its former DJs. You had like...
That's just the business. It's not just MTV. It's just the business.
Yeah. But it was. I'll link to it. It was a really like good, open, honest conversation because you probably deal with a lot of delusional people that you know that their peak has come and gone or they never even had one.
Yeah.
But meanwhile you're like, hey, I'm still out there doing it. But I do know that the movie career of mine, you know, I had my moment and it's since passed, but I'm still out there, you know, doing stand up.
I miss acting. You know, that's the thing I was talking about on Joe's show is that, you know, I mean, I just, you know, it's like I had that huge run doing all these films and then like I don't want to say they take it away from you, but, you know, they take it away from you, and then
somebody younger and better looking. And
no.
Or like in your
I'm
case,
young,
why do they take it away?
That's not it.
I agree, but I mean, isn't that the way it works, though? Like the next best thing is up, and then you're kind of just like...
I think it's really box office. It has nothing to do with your looks.
If you're still drawn.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, look at like Will Ferrell and all these other guys. They're still doing movies. He's not like some young guy. He's got to be in his 50s.
It's a good point.
It's really about, you know, you know, your last thing, you know. So
now how does that work? You got a manager and you're and he's out there, he's calling you like, hey, what about this, what about that? Or
For me, it's kind of like, you know, it's balls to the wall. You know, you kind of, you know, you get your own stuff, someone gets you stuff. I got different agents getting me different things. I'm with, I got a reading on this other, I don't know, it's just random. It's like, I've been doing this, yeah, I've been doing this for so long, I know so many people, so I just reach out, they reach out to me. There's email, there's Twitter, there's, you know, you get offers here and there all the time, you know? Like, Louis C.K. just wanted to hit me up. He's like, can I open for you? I'm like, whoa, bro.
Whoa. No, get it. You're hitting the skids right now, but come on.
Have you ever experienced any kind of harassment in Hollywood?
Yeah, by you.
Oh, okay.
Every time you know he comes,
I
mean? In?
Every time I come through Spiegelman, yeah. He's always tries to touch me.
I mean, there's so
it's
much.
It's a sensitive subject. We can't even talk about it.
I know. God forbid.
You know, why even talk God about forbid. It? It's like, oh, my God, they talked about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you did the, you and Terry Crews were both a part of that Sandler film, Sandy Wexler.
Mm.
Each had like a part in there. And with all this like sexual assault stuff that's coming out, like the creepy casting room couch stuff,
yeah.
The one that was like the most, and it's all awful, but the one that confused me the most was that little greaseball that had the stones to reach out and grab Terry Crews' junk in front of his wife.
He was an agent. Mm. Turns out he was an agent.
Did you see what he looks like, by the way?
Yeah.
He looks like something Harvey Weinstein coughed up.
Right.
He's this little, just this little booger glob of a person.
Yeah,
that,
but
you know,
okay,
you got the
let me defend. Let me defend Adam. Okay, because Adam is my, his name's Adam Bennett. That's the agent?
That's the dude that grabbed Cruz?
Yeah, so let me explain who he is.
Please.
The guy that grabbed Terry Crews.
So first
junk.
Of all, well, let me explain. Because you're not in the inside.
Give me, yeah,
I'm on
us.
The inside.
All right.
Okay. He's a sweetheart.
Sounds like.
Just listen to me.
Good.
No, he's a sweetheart. He likes to party. Have you ever been to like a frat party?
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Have you ever been to like a party where people are really, I don't want to say obnoxious, but they're kind of like, yo, get over here, bro. And they put you in a headlock and they start touch, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he gets buzzed. Mm-hmm. You know, he's actually, I was his, he's my agent.
He's your agent?
He's my agent.
The guy who allegedly attacked Cruz is your agent?
Well, yeah, so here, so you can speak.
No, but all I'm just saying, he's a sweetheart. He's married with kids. He just likes to get buzzed. So here's the deal. You don't see other people coming out saying, oh, Adam, grab my da-da. It was just, it was an incident that happened like 2 years ago.
Right.
Okay. And he was at a party.
Well,
I've been at parties with Adam and he grabs me.
Right.
Like that's his personality because he gets buzzed. He's like, get over here. Let's do shots.
Well, that's kind of like,
but he
where
should
I
not
was...
have. I get he shouldn't have done that to him because he didn't know Terry Crews. He should not have done that to him. You know right. what I mean? But it's alcohol.
It,
but. Like, you know, you sometimes you're like, yo, bro, you know, I mean, you have friends that party. They don't know what they're
I
doing.
I party,
at the
right? Like, look,
yeah.
my whole thing is it's getting so ridiculous now with, you know, everybody in the government now and this Al Franken thing. And they're all calling for everybody's heads. It's like, hey, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, because, you know, all those sons of bitches are the weirdest MFers on the planet. And that's the other thing. It's like you said, this was one incident. You know this guy. You know
he's
who he
a
is.
Good guy,
you know
yeah.
his soul. You know he's
yeah,
a good
he's
guy.
Chill.
Al Franken, right? There's a goofy photo floating around that when it was taken, it was probably done good natured, like, haha, this is funny. It should have been done, yes or no, debatable. And then he did this thing where he planted a kiss on a woman. And it's like, you know, but does one photo in one moment define a human being?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever dealt with it firsthand yourself? Like, is anybody, because you were, and let's be honest, dude, you coming up, you were part of a big party scene. You had to get between Encino Man, Biodome, 90s, before any of this stuff broke loose. Did
I
anybody,
have to go after women that sexually harassed me.
You.
You know what
I
mean?
How many times did your crotch get grabbed?
Yeah. No, it's just a different climate now that the world's different. You could just feel it just when you walk out into the world. It's basically a millennial world and we're living in it now.
Yep.
And the millennials are taking over and, you know, and that old way of being is old and they want it out. And now they're kind of turning people out here and there. And people just need to be more respected. And you can't, you don't know, like you and I goofing off is like, you know, maybe not appropriate to some people. Like, you know, and that's just the way it is. You got to have that in the back of your mind now. It's just, it's not like it was back then, and times change, yeah, right?
So, like, yeah. Like you're joking about Louis, and we've talked about, like, the spacey stuff. Like, who recovers from this? Who doesn't? Can you? Is it, like, a time heals all wounds thing?
I was thinking of, like, past people like Mike Tyson.
That's the example I make all the time.
He makes that example all the time.
He eats people and raped them.
Yeah, I think, like,
yeah.
Like, I think, like, you know, as long as you didn't, like, hurt anyone or, you know, or it's not, like, crazy, like, I think at some point, 2 to 3 years maybe, you know, something will kind of, like,
navigate this.
You know, I think, you know, it's like, I don't know.
It's oddly selective who they let back in. Like, think about Chris Brown. Chris Brown turns Rihanna's face into hamburger.
Yeah.
And now he's back to selling out the Capital One Center.
So we'll see. I think time will tell. This is a new kind of wave of things. And it started actually with...
It's like a new wave. This is the next wave. Like,
It started with the Bill Cosby, you know what I mean? And then into Harvey, and then it just kind of snowballed, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you just need to be able to kind of like... You know, everyone wants to be treated chill, you know? You know, just respect and don't grab and you know, and just kind of hand pumps and, right?
That's where we got to be now, Paul.
Light waves.
You know, don't look at the boobs.
That's it.
You know, just look straight in the eyes.
Yep.
Is your head spinning?
No, I'm just letting him do his thing.
Are you? Okay.
There he goes.
Spiegelman, there you get again. You're getting weird on me. Doors. Maybe I don't want to have that sandwich with you.
Shutting and... He's hard to keep up with, isn't he?
You just let him do his thing.
His brain is going rotten on
us. Intense.
It's real rough.
He is intense.
Right? Real rough. I can see him on one of those, like, you know, TV commercials. Buy now, sell later.
Yeah.
Justin Scott, Spiegel, 90rock90online.com. Pauly Shore is here, and he's going to be at Magoobies tonight and tomorrow night. And if you want some tickets, call 410-252-2727, 410-252-2727. Leave a message to call you back. Hook you up with some tickets.
Here's what you're going to do. We got your whole day planned. You're going to stop by and see Marianne, Verizon Store, 11 to 1, 625 Baltimore Road in Westminster. Get 50% off that new Google Pixel 2 with a trade-in on select phones. She's got some prizes to give away that night. You're going to go see Pauly Shore at Magoobies. Hey, I can't watch it because you said that there's some cussing. I will when I get off the air, but...
There's just some F-bombs.
Funny or Die, you did something. Yeah. And Funny or Die... is becoming such a kick-ass platform. Mm. I know that they had that CISO thing for a bit. It was like an all-comedy network that kind of came and went. Mm. But like the stuff on Funny or Die, I'm just kind of clicking through the video right now. It's you, it's Jay Moore, it's all kinds of other people. Like the production value on this is like that of a movie.
Yeah. It's like I said earlier, it's a different time. And you know, that's where you kind of incubate your ideas is through them. And then from there, you can kind of maybe parlay it into something else. But... this was an idea that I had that I pitched them, I developed with them, and it's basically called Silver Lake Vice Squad. It's on Funny or Die right now. So me and Jay Moore, we play these undercover police officers, and we go dress as hipsters into Silver Lake to bust a Molly ring. And Bobby Lee works the Molly ring.
Explain, I know Silver Lake, but for those that don't know Silver Lake.
Well, every town has a hipster town. Every city has a hipster like community.
And that's where you live, right? You live there.
Yeah, I live in Silver Lake. But what's hipstery out here? There must be a little area.
Hamden, right down the street here.
Hamden,
yeah, skinny parts of Charlesville. Beards, you know, baristas. And
guys with typewriters in the coffee shop.
Hilarious.
Listening to a Walkman, ironically.
I love it.
It's someone behind the counter has got the big denim apron, the leather apron.
They look like they're fashion, the way they picked out their outfit is they just walked into like a Goodwill with their eyes closed and just grabbed random articles and put it on.
Yeah.
They sat down in the barber's chair and said, give me the Mumford & Sons.
Yeah.
Knock it
out. Yeah, that's what it is.
And you got Bobby Lee in this.
Fax machine? What's going on over there?
No, it's the printer. Oh. That's my fault.
Yeah, Bobby Lee's in it. Richard Schiff from Ballers. It's on right now. They just released it yesterday. So, that's out there right now.
You got another one on there too, where you're playing Stephen Miller.
Yeah,
White House's Stephen Miller, the senior advisor. Yeah. Whoever did the makeup on you, because you got a pretty decent hairline.
Yeah,
but whoever did the makeup on you to make you look like Stephen Miller needs to win a makeup award for rocking that hairline like that much higher up.
Yeah, no, that video did really well for me as well.
Holy short, killing it.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff going on out there. So. So what else is going on with you, man? Like, you, last time we talked to you, you were trying to rent your place. California was running out of water.
I remember you showed us the listing to your house that's up in the hills.
Yeah, I have it leased out.
Is it leased out?
Yeah.
How much you get that a month?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well with it. I remember when I first started coming to Baltimore, did I meet you? You were with Mickey, right?
Yeah.
Mickey
yeah,
was
back in the day. I produced that show. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Because he was friends with one of my ex-girlfriends, Pamela Paulshock, who's actually from Baltimore.
Mm-mm.
She's a hot blondie. She's back in the day, like probably over 10 years ago or whatever. But you worked with...
I was on that show as well.
Where is he?
Before the accident.
Before what accident?
Do you vape, by any chance?
I have.
You vaped in the past. Did you use one of the small pens or one of the big ones that has, like, the nozzle on it?
A small one.
He had a big one. And
hilarious.
It exploded.
So great.
Yeah.
He's nuts.
Blew his leg
clean
off.
I love people that are crazy.
Then you've come to the right place because he is a fountain. No, he's doing great, man. He's still doing stand up. He's doing radio at another station around town. He does about like speaking engagement stuff. He's doing it, trying to let that leg grow back. No, he actually had a vape powder like blow a piece of his leg off.
What?
Yeah, he like Facebooked photos out there. Hunks of meat off the thigh, gone.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right.
What's Pauly Shore's? You mentioned that Pamela girl.
Yes.
What's Pauly Shore's life like right now?
I've been seeing someone for a long time.
A long time? What's a long time?
5 years.
Oh.
It's been on and off a lot. You know what
does
I mean?
That mean?
What does on and off
mean? Yeah.
More on than off.
It means like, you know, we have, it's kind of like herpes, you know, it just kind of X up and then like you got to get away.
With you there.
You know what I mean?
You got to take a knee for a little bit.
And then when you get away though, are you free to...
Pretty much, yeah. And wow. She is too, though. She does whatever she wants.
You ain't
got to
say who she is, but would we know them? Would we know them if you told us?
She's not famous.
No, she's not famous.
It's not Chef Guarnicelli from Chopped on Food Network.
No, I love Alex.
Do you have a type, Pauly? Is there a particular brand you go for? The brunette?
Chubby
curves?
Babes.
Yeah.
Chubby Babes. I love Chubby Babes.
Chubby Babes. No, I don't know.
Chubby Babes.
I don't know. Someone that, I don't know. Someone that's cool, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you prefer in or out of the business? Someone in the business can identify, but then the next thing you know, you guys are competing careers. Someone out of the business, it's nice. We can just go out. She's not inundated with all kinds of crap, but she might not be able to identify as much. You like in or out of your business?
It's my therapist.
Yeah, baby.
This is nice.
Lay down on the couch.
But isn't everybody out there kind of connected to the business in one way or another?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I don't know. It's a good, you want to date people that are doing what you do so that when you talk to them, you're talking like it's speaking Japanese. You speak the same language. And then if you talk, but then if you get someone that's solely not in the business, there's something refreshing about that too.
Yeah.
Because
they're
more
just talking
the
about
soul.
Stupid things and it's not like really part of it. So I don't know. I mean, the girl that I've been with for a while, we just seem to get along and we laugh and she's cool. So I don't know.
Do you go for walks on the beach?
No, we go get sandwiches, bro. Sandwiches.
On the beach.
No, we just kind of take it easy, you know?
Like, you realize that we're like at least the people in the room. I don't know about the listeners, but every time you come here, I'm very fascinated by you and your life, and just what it's like.
I mean, you're a piece of Americana.
Yeah,
I mean, I grew up with you with your films, with your MTV work. Then when I was out west, obviously your mother is famous, the club is famous, stuff that you've done. So you're a fascinating figure, excuse me, to a lot of people. That I almost wonder, like, you know, getting back to this lovely lady that you're dating. That, you know, how does she say to people like, "Oh, I hear you're dating a guy who's a comedian." Yes. What's he like? Well, you've probably heard of him. Like, how does she like let friends and family people know like, "Hey, you are like a legit famous person"? They all freak out, squeal, "Oh my god, bring him around." Or
you're Pauly Shore.
Yeah, you're Pauly Shore.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm sure she's heard everything.
Let me ask you this:
I'm sure she's heard. You know, every time she says
your name,
my name, that,
Pauly Shore?
I went out with my friend, or, you know, "Oh my God, that guy's crazy. Is he on drugs?"
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, "Oh my God, is he high all the time?" Or,
are you high all the time?
Always.
How often are you high?
I'm never high. Dude.
Stop, Pauly.
I swear
you
on my mom's
California.
Life. I swear on my mom's life, I'm not
high.
Not
even weed or nothing?
Barely.
barely weed now. Barely. What about the booze?
When I was younger, I smoked weed. I smoked weed, you know, more. And now I just smoke it once in a while. It's probably because you can get it all the time now. I'm like, eh, whatever.
Now the allure of tracking it down is gone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the pendulum swinging the other way where it's almost like becoming like passe to smoke weed now.
Well, it's
because
like,
everyone does.
Yeah, because like when I was younger growing up, we used to go to the beach and we used to, you know, I used to steal pot from my mom. She always had weed. And I would go to the beach and me and my friends, Sean and Glenn.
It was more of an event.
Yeah, it was like we would hide. We'd put the towel over us. And we'd like, you know, get an apple and we'd break it and like open it and put the tin foil and smoke it. And then we'd take the towel off. It was like, oh my God, we're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's just like.
You can vape inside of a freaking CVS if you want.
Yeah, you're burning up in a Caribou Coffee and no one bats an eyelash.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, I don't know. I go to the Korean bathhouse a lot.
Whoa. Yeah. What the hell?
You have the floor.
It's not a masturbation thing.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It's not a masturbation thing.
Just a bunch of Korean dudes sitting around just pulling a CK on you.
Okay. Do they whack you with them branches in there?
No, that's the Russian
one. That's the Russian one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is Korean? What does the Korean specialize in?
Well,
what do they
Bobby
do?
Lee's the one, because I used to go to the Russian one a lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm like Russian
and
Jew.
And they stretch you out and they whip you with them branches.
It's called a pleitsa.
A pleitsa?
Yeah, it's a pleitsa. So they hit you with the leaves and it detoxes you and get all your
Hell
stuff out. Yeah. But the Korean spa is cool because it's like, it's hilarious. It's literally, like if the Korean spa wasn't in LA, I would have been beheaded and killed.
What is that?
Because the only thing that's protecting me from them killing me is the fact that it's in LA.
Whoa.
Because they're that hardcore Koreans.
It's deep in the game, Korean.
Yeah. And like
how do you even get into that? Can anybody go?
Well, Bobby Lee took me there for the first time.
So someone's got to vouch for you to get you in.
Get me in. But I'm the only white guy that actually has a membership to it. Like, I have, like, a card. Like, I don't even have to pay. I, like, give...
Is it unisex or is it all dudes?
It's just
all
guys, dudes.
Just dudes sitting around.
Yeah.
And I hear, like, the baths, you could boil pasta in. It's so hot. Like,
yeah,
some of the water
it.
In
That's
there
what
is
I love.
Murderously
I
hot. It's taking like a dermal layer of skin off.
It's
and what
great.
Is what goes on there?
Well, you shower and then you go into the hot pool and then you go into the there's different steams. There's like a eucalyptus steam.
I love the eucalyptus.
There's also a dry sauna. Uh-huh. And then you go in there and then you shower off.
They got a cold plunge.
And then you
or
go
you
in
take
the cold,
cold
plunge.
Yeah,
you go in the cold and you just keep doing it like two or three times and then you leave and you
amazing.
Feel the best.
Dude, I went to Canada one time with our old boss and they had friends in a house down the street and the first thing they built on their property was the sauna.
Wow.
Right down next to the lake.
Wow.
So you would sit in the sauna for like 30 minutes, hop out of the sauna, run, and then jump down into a Canadian lake.
Yeah.
And you just repeat that like five times and you feel amazing.
Amazing.
I really honestly like give credit to that for the reason why I feel I'm like, you know, healthy and stuff.
Yeah.
It's got to help with like the joints. It's got to help with the muscles.
Everything.
Detox
yeah.
with the sweat and all that.
But it's also stress if you're going through personal stuff with your family, your mom, your dad, your siblings.
No, I'm fine. Josh is good.
But you know what I'm saying? It
Absolutely.
Helps you with just anything, work or whatever, and you just go in there. And also, when you're with a whole bunch of Korean guys, like, how can you not laugh?
I
you know what I mean? I mean, Koreans are, like, hilarious.
Are you comfortable with your body naked?
Yeah, because my penis is bigger than all of theirs.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense. That's another reason.
Yeah.
But once in a while, a black dude will come and be like, whoa, bro, we got to go on the other side.
Come on, man. Sit as far away from me as possible.
Yeah.
Before you unfurl that thing.
Yeah, the best is, though, you know, Korean dudes naked are awesome because... Can you say the word penis?
No, you cannot. Penis. You can say as much as you want. Penis.
Penis.
Well, their penises are small and they get camouflage in their pubic hair. It looks like they have vaginas. You know what I mean?
And don't they have... I don't want to get too graphic, but isn't their pubic hair like also straighter than like American pubic hair?
No.
It's curly?
It's curly, yeah, I know, but that's an interesting question. Because you would think, you never see an Asian dude with curly hair.
No.
Have you ever? It'd be a perm.
Yeah, it would be a perm.
it'd be like a Jackie Chan perm.
Now, is this place like high end or is it more like on the shady side of things?
It's not shady at all. It's just low key. There's like if you
What's
Google.
What's the name of it?
Is it fancy?
I wouldn't. First of all, I would never tell you the name of it.
Damn
and
it.
I don't know the name. But if you Google We Spa in LA, it's like kind of a gnarlier version of that.
Like, is it
that's
W-I
what I mean.
Spa?
I want to know how gnarly.
Yeah. Like, that's like, Yeah, that's like a cool spot. Like, if you ever
Open 24 hours.
Yeah, if you go, that's another thing is they're open 24 hours. So if you get off a plane late or you you just go.
It's very convenient.
Love this.
All right, let's look up some of these bathhouses here. You ever heard of the Flex Spa downtown?
Here in Baltimore?
No. That's down
in L.A.
This is Los Angeles, baby. That's got a 3.9 rating out of 96 Google reviews. Hidden properly, small business, limited parking.
Hidden properly. What does that even mean?
I love it.
Why does it need to be hidden properly?
That's what, but that's what sucks. You know who I see? Yo, you know who I go to the Russian one all the time? And you know who I see there all the time is Dexter from The Offspring.
Oh, Dexter Holland.
Yeah, he's there all the time. He loves it, too. And we have the same conversation because everyone thinks like everyone's thinking right now that's listening to us, oh, it's a gay thing and it's a this thing, and it's not.
At all.
It's the opposite. Yeah. It's just mellow, and it's like the best thing, you know, and I don't know. It's just great.
God, well, that's why you're so chill.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Conversation was had, trying to have ourselves a bit of an intellectual discussion, equal time on Wednesday about marijuana legalization, people for and people against, and I think the vast majority of people in the country are for it, but there's two prongs to it, medicinal and recreational. And that day we leaned more into medicinal than recreational, so maybe it bodes for a conversation down the line, maybe this time next year, whatever, see how the earth is shaken, but I would hope. I would hope before Evan is in middle school, we could go down to the Wawa, the Sheets, the 7-Eleven, and pick ourselves up a Marlboro Green box.
Ooh.
Twist it up, ready to go.
Well, that's green right now is menthol, though. We got to figure that out.
Oh, yeah. What do you do?
How do we do it? What do we do?
Yeah. Does menthol have to change? I mean, I feel like menthol's already got themselves ingrained in culture. What is a cigarette, quote, box of joints look like?
I don't know.
What do you sell them for, too? I've said before, if you legalized weed, you could sell a pack of joints for like $40. Same amount as in a pack of cigarettes, and people would buy it just because it's decriminalized and convenient.
Or should they come in a little pouch like the Backwoods cigars?
Oh, yeah. Like Swisher Sweets, pre-rolled blunts, grape-flavored.
For a while, Camel was selling cigarettes in tins until they outlawed that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had ourselves a conversation, and you checked in about it. Legalization for, and especially those against, on Behind the Curtain.
Weed.
Yeah, man. Spark it up.
Weed.
Mike, how long ago was it?
Well, speaking of, what was the story you did earlier in the week? We were talking about medicinal marijuana, then we got talking about the seizures and the...
A girl in Colorado is suing the attorney general to legalize marijuana because she has seizures.
And then you hear these stories about these kids with horrific seizures and these people with, ailments. And it's just a couple of drops of weed under the tongue, some weed oils, some CBDs, or whatever the hell it is. And the seizures, like, stop.
Yeah, after taking countless medicines and injections and pills and treatments that have just the most wretched side effects. We saw this first with Weedakit on Vice and Viceland and stuff like that, that... You know, you get a lot of these VAs, these veterans hospitals that would be trying to opiate away a lot of symptoms of PTSD and stuff like that, giving these men and women in the military horrible, horrible side effects, sexual dysfunction, appetite dysfunction, mood swings, and then they just drop it all and they get the cannabis oil and the next thing you know, they've gotten their life back. And we even had the folks from, Mike, who was it that you reached out to yesterday? I think we might even have them up soon from the...
Yeah, Leah. We had them up back this summer, back in July. And that's because we found out they were opening a dispensary right down the street from us, the Chesapeake Institute for Health. And I emailed her yesterday out of curiosity to see where they were. And she said that hopefully by February, they'll be opening their doors.
What month was that?
February.
Can we please cut the R out of February?
Yeah.
Please. Can we just do
back
one
to
R?
February.
Yeah, we were supposed to have that thing. I believe we talked to earlier in the year. They were gunning for a September opening. I feel like that's what they said. They were going to try and go by the fall.
Yeah, at least by the end of this year. But
then, Josh, you pointed out yesterday, just red tape entanglement,
the
likes
so
of which.
It's so confusing. I mean, it's been going on for years. They've been trying to get these... dispensaries
opened and there have been lawsuits. The whole thing is screwed up.
Is it some good old boys club that it's going to take, like, quite literally a die off of, like, these Strom Thurmond type politicians that are still convinced Reefer Madness was a documentary, and if you do take one hit of a pipe, you're going to rape someone and throw them out the window?
I don't know if it's a good old boys club, but I know that one problem was that there were lawsuits because some people felt that there weren't enough minority business owners.
Yeah,
but there's other issues, and it's out of control. People are suffering, for God's sake.
Because considering also...
Here's the thing. I want to we want to hear from the people who think that weed is still the devil and that it should not be legalized because it's just hell and you deny these people the medicine. But then the people that have that standpoint and then they see a friend or a family member who it works for.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, what now? Or your mom gets, somebody's... who's strictly opposed to it, their mom gets cancer, God forbid, and has no appetite and is in horrific pain. And then the only thing that will make her eat and feel better is if she has some edibles or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you go, oh, wait a minute. It's keeping my mom alive and it's making her feel better. Yeah, maybe it's not the devil.
Her appetite's back. She's eating. She's got some color, some energy. Her mood is improved. Considering that we are in the middle, especially locally, it's going on nationally, but locally... we're a hot zone for an opioid crisis. The opiate situation, with everyone dying. I mean, Harford County right now, it's cutting a swath through that county and in the city, and everyone taking opiates and replacing it with heroin and all that sort of stuff. I feel like we could head a lot of this off at the pass, but then I think some people are painting in broad strokes, and it's obviously we're making our stance on the matter clear. You could legalize the damn thing and sell it inside of a Wawa, and I'd probably walk in there and pick up a pack. But I don't understand why you just wouldn't want to replace these horrible opiates and their life-changing effects with some medicinal, if not recreational, marijuana.
And we got some pretty jammed phone lines talking about medicinal marijuana. And look, there's two sides to every story. There's people that are for it and people that are against it. It helps a lot of people, but I could see why there might be a lot of reasons why people could be against it.
Yeah, it started with 12-year-old Alexis Bortel, who is referred to as energetic. She loves to read, write, and explore her family's 35-acre farm in Colorado. She's also written a book, young author, and she takes cannabis oil daily because she has a severe form of epilepsy known as intractable epilepsy that she treats with cannabis, and it's helped calm down her seizures, and she has since is suing Attorney General Jeff Sessions, trying to make marijuana, specifically medicinal marijuana, because it is two issues, recreational versus medicinal, to make it legal. Because Jeff Sessions, who I believe has gone on record as saying he's going to uphold or at least honor Obama's, the prior administration's stance on marijuana, which was no real federal involvement and kind of leave it up to the states, as it were. But that's not to say that the states won't want to get involved and try and illegalize it or, you know, prosecute, make it one of those stage one controlled substances. So we want to ask you, 410-338-1098, why are you opposed? And just having a conversation, just curious, like Scott said, both sides. Let's start with Rob, who has been holding for quite some time. Rob, thank you for holding, bud.
Yeah, no problem. How you guys doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. So I guess I'm against the recreational part of marijuana. I'm totally for it. If it stops kids from having seizures, I'm all about it. But I think it's kind of taboo to say that, you know, marijuana messes you up and slows down your brain. And that's coming from a guy who smoked pot every day for years.
Yeah,
growing
I mean, the burnout thing's real, right? I mean,
yeah,
you've met some folks.
I wondered about that the other day because you do see, you know, like the legalization of pot for recreational use and then medicinal use. But like these people that are just banging it up hard, like recreationally.
Waking
like,
and baking.
You just see them like, whoa, you know, dabbing and smoking them down all day. Like, I remember back in the day in college and stuff when I would hit it more often than I ever did in my entire life. And it was like, I would feel like slower and dumber.
Thank you for the call, Rob. We appreciate it, man.
But then you get people like Joe Rogan who are sharp as a tack. And
I don't know. I watch his podcast. He's not that sharp as a tack.
He's a little
He
fried.
Devolves into this dumb stoner talk.
That's a different...
He's a pot shaman. Scott's 100% right. I've listened to some of his podcasts recently.
Like, God.
And he goes on some of these long weed-drenched tangents out while entertaining.
Well, that's him being high. But I think what Mike is saying, like when he sits in like the UFC chair and
he's
doing that,
commentating.
And he's still commentating, he's still sharpest attack. And here's the thing. We're so uneducated with this. There's, you know, the indica, there's the sativa, there's the CBDs, there's the oils. They distill it down. They get the crystals, and different things do different things. And it's like not all this medicine is the equivalent of just smoking a joint. It could be this weird form of weed that there's the stuff that doesn't get you high, but it affects your brain and your body and stuff, and it's almost good for you.
Patrick Fuller said exactly that on Twitter. Thank you for checking in, Pat. They are actually cultivating medicinal strains that won't even remotely get you high, but they benefit debilitating seizures. They've sort of engineered out the stoner portion, but the benefits they continue to get. Let's go to Bob in Anne Arundel, my neck of the woods. What's up, Bob?
How are you guys doing today?
How you doing, man?
So I have been growing weed for multiple years now, and
write down his number.
My stance on the issue is we cannot give 12-year-olds the right to roll a joint. That's just, it's asinine.
Now, what do you think, though, about, now that's another thing, too, the way you take it medicinally. Like, yes, a 12-year-old smoking a joint, I'm 100% with you. Can't be doing that. But what about those cannabis oils? The thing that you literally place a drop on their tongue like you would some sort of over-the-counter medicine, a Robitussin type something.
Yeah, so the strains and stuff that all of that is extracted from, I'm so for it. But to get, like, especially under the age of 21, because smoking anything is bad for you, hands down. Anytime you inhale smoke, it's bad for your body. But the benefits to CBD and all that stuff is great. You can't deny how good it is for seizures, epilepsy, anxiety, all of that. But so from a kid's standpoint, I think you can't smoke weed. Take the medicine.
Well, they're not smoking weed. These kids are not smoking weed.
You're saying proper administration of it. Like this girl, and thank you for the call.
It's not like a 12-year-old's ripping bong hits. They're putting a drop of some sort of CBD oil under her tongue.
And I think their parents probably
are involved. And the parents are administering it. Yes, of course.
Trust me, their kid's
taking tons of pills every single day, and some of these pills are pretty horrific stuff.
Yeah.
And you're saying a 12-year-old can't be, you know, smoking weed. They're not.
That's a whole separate issue. Yeah, that's... They're not ripping off bingers like Scott says. They're not doing shatter. My lighter's out. Which one's your lighter, honey? The one with the Hello Kitty image on the side. No. Whole separate
subject. We're so quick to open a kid's mouth, chuck down a handful of pills, and go, drink it down, sweetie. But then when it comes to something that's distilled from a plant that's natural and scientists have worked to alleviate the psychoactive properties and just get the medicinal benefits, when it comes to putting a drop of that under a 10-year-old's tongue, we're like, whoa!
Hold on!
Wait, it doesn't come out of an orange bottle from a pharmacy? Whoa!
Does that got communism in it? I feel like there's real chunks of communism in it. Do not give that to the child. Now, where the hell's my gin and tonic? I've got a dog to beat. Let's go to Dave in the Dina. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How you doing, Davey?
I just want to start off by saying I listen to you guys every morning. My day starts at 10 a.m.
Hell yeah, dude.
I listen to you guys all day long.
My dude.
Okay,
you
so.
Got that good gravel.
All right, so my stuff is this. I have severe sleep apnea. When I went to do my study, I stopped breathing 60 times in a 2-hour period.
Damn, son.
And, I recently I hadn't smoked pot since my 20s. I'm 40 now, and I started smoking pot again, and I sleep like a baby. I sleep like a baby all night long, and, you know, my wife wakes me up, you know, to give me a kiss goodbye, and I'm like, wait a minute, what time is it?
You're
completely done. I'm glad you got that sleep apnea taken care of. There's someone here that needs to get theirs looked at as well. Whoa, what's that? Is that happening? All right, let's go back to the phones here. Let's talk to Kenny on line 3 has been holding. Kenny, thank you for holding, buddy.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
How you doing? Hey.
All right. So my thing is, as far as the legalization of marijuana, medicinally or recreationally, I don't think that it's that big a deal. One, as far as the medicinal route, there's been tons of studies that prove that it's helped a bunch of people with a bunch of different things. So to deny those people those things is ridiculous, and it's money grubbing. And we all know it's money grubbing because this is America, and it's how we work.
Hell yeah, baby.
If it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense.
Big pharma, so, dude.
Right. And then as far, now if you look to recreational, so what? I'm a grown man. I can do whatever I want. I can go smoke.
And you can probably, drink. Right, and you can get it now if you wanted to anyway.
Yeah, you
get
can
it.
Get it wherever
you want. We focus on like trying to prevent these people from getting things, but what about guns? Nobody wants to talk about guns. They're like, oh, well, you know, if people want guns, they can get guns. Well, yeah, of course, but don't make it easy.
Can we ask right? you, can we ask
we're
a question?
We're putting people in jail for no reason.
Hold on. We want to ask you.
Make a little money. Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I love it. Love the passion.
The passion's great.
Justin wants to ask you something.
You high right now?
I am not. About to go get ready, though.
Yeah.
You Chinese.
You from Shanghai.
You from Shanghai. What the hell's happening right now? You from something?
It's
from Shanghai.
Can't say where that's from. Given the current climate.